one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
what do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Ange. Joining me on the show, we got Nikki Doucet.
What it do? What it do?
Shelton J.
What's the word, man? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Be good.
And Manny will be joining us soon at some point. So y'all give him some time to get here. But yeah, we're back for another show. No FIFO tonight. No B. B was celebrating his birthday.
Yeah, a lot of birthdays this past week.
A lot.
Man.
A lot. So Rod's birthday is coming up.
I thought his birthday was in January. Is that his son?
I think it's his son.
Okay.
Yeah, his is like May 20th, I think.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Anyway, let's get on the show.
All right. As of course, we gotta talk. We appreciate everybody who tuned in for the live draft. The first round recap that we did, that was a lot of fun. I think we should continue to do that. But as you know, after that day, the draft went on for the rest of the weekend, but it's officially in the books. It's over now. We got a lot of grades coming out of it. Surprising picks, surprising trades. So first question I got for y'all is just off of y'all impressions of the draft. If you could do this, what three teams do you feel had the most impressive draft to you?
Go ahead, Nick. I mean, Ken. Oh, Ken. Oh, well, I'll go. For me, it was easy. Well, it wasn't easy because everybody had a good, as you know, this is the one time in the year when every team has hope, no matter what. That's the one reason that everybody tunes into the draft, and that's what makes it special, is everybody is 0-0 and everybody got a shot at it all. So the best three teams for me in the draft were the Chargers. I think the Chargers addressed most of their needs early, and they got some impact players. They got Slater, which many feel was the steal of the draft, and they got – I forgot who the cornerback was they got. That was good.
Kellen Munn?
No, he's at the Chargers.
Chargers. What's his name? His dad played for the Falcons. Asante Samuel Jr.
Oh, yeah. They did get him.
So they did good by addressing a lot of needs. Number two for me was Chicago in jumping up to get Justin Fields. I thought that was a move that they needed to make. I was shocked that they did it. Because, seeing Chicago with a black quarterback, I didn't think I'd see it anytime soon. So, and him being there with that strong defense, that's a good place for him to end up. And third, you could have went a number of ways with that. But of course, I think Jacksonville did pretty good because they addressed the needed running back. Not necessarily need. They had a good
I was about to say, the need is a strong word because I had what's his name? Robinson in my fantasy football league last year.
He balled out.
Yeah, he balled out.
So, I think that's a good 1-2 combination that they got in the backfield to kind of help out Trevor Lawrence. But you could have went a number of ways with that third pick for because a lot of teams got better.
They did. So, they did. Yeah. This is actually a pretty well-rounded draft for the most part. My three teams, I'll go into more detail, but my three teams is, I would say, the Giants, the Bears, and this last one is a tie between Miami and the Chargers, just because of the fact of, like, I feel like the Chargers had, like, the most, they were just like, they're like the best team that always picks high in the draft for some reason. I don't understand how it is. But and they keep on retooling. They have like a top six roster in the NFL, but they still get players and all that stuff. But I tie with Miami because with the Chargers, I don't know about their head coach just yet. That's my issue. I don't know how these players are going to develop under this new head coach. With Miami, it's like, I don't know how these players are going to develop with Tua. Like, is Tua really the guy to have all this talent around? My first two choices, I think the Bears are number one as far as getting some Fields, who to me was arguably the best quarterback in the draft, to get him at 11. Granted, you had to give up some picks like you did for Trubisky, but at least we know for this time that you have legit talent at QB. I think that was impressive. And I think the haul that the Giants got back, that is impressive to me, not because of the draft cap, the picks itself, but the capital they could use to go get somebody like Aaron Rodgers if a deal can be made. Because I feel like they're the only team with assets to go get Aaron Rodgers. They can offer the Packers legit 3 first-round picks over the next 2 years. I don't think no other team can do that. But yeah, those are my three impressive teams. Manny, that's what I was asking everybody. We're going over the NFL draft and doing our recap. What three teams stood out to you as far as most impressive after their draft?
Homer pick, obviously, the Jets. I thought we had a strong first round. Obviously, getting Zach Wilson. Jury's still out. I'm not even going to sit here and try to wave the pom-poms and act like Zach Wilson's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know. I don't think any Jet fan knows. Hopefully he's better than Joe Namath. We shall see. As far as the Elijah Vera Tucker pick, I thought that was a home run pick, trading the 2 third-round picks to get probably the best guard in the draft by most people's estimates. So yeah, that was a good move. And then in day two, going up and getting Elijah Moore, the wide receiver out of Mississippi, out of Ole Miss, was a big time move too. So overall, I thought the Jets had a really strong draft. I didn't love some of the day three picks, especially on the latter half, but the developmental picks. So we'll see. Who knows? I mean, in 5 years, who knows? They probably could have stole a gem from one of those rounds. So who knows? But I thought the Jets had a good round. All right, good draft. I really like what the Cowboys did, especially the trade back, getting some more picks. I thought that was a smart move, you know, trading back and then still getting probably one of the best, you know, 10, 15 players in the draft, and Michael Parsons. I can't understand why he's down there, whatever, but it is what it is. Looks like they addressed their defense, which was a need. And then I say my third team would be the Browns. I thought the Browns had a really solid draft too, especially getting the linebacker from Notre Dame, you know, where they got him in the second round, which was a steal for them. A team that is already great defensively, or at least very good defensively, just got better with that kid. So, yeah, I thought the Browns, Jets, and the Cowboys had really strong drafts. And some other teams also had some really good drafts, too. I thought Buffalo getting Russo at the end of the first round was a steal as well. So,
for me, man, Steelers. You know, as I go through the results of the draft, and they just went away. Hold on. But I go Steelers, Jaguars, and Chicago for picking up Fields. Steelers because they really, really needed a running back, and they get Najee Harris.
Did they need a running back more than offensive line?
Yes. They could not run the ball.
Yeah, they did.
James Conner was like, he had one good year, and he was a wrap. The tight end, Pat Freiermuth, pretty good.
Pat Freiermuth?
Yeah.
Yeah, they I don't know why it is. Everybody, every decent to good tight end coming out of draft, they're like, oh, that's a baby Gronk. Or that's like, yeah, that's what they called him.
Yeah, they do that for everybody, you know.
Yeah. Kendrick Green, so that's the offensive line. Quincy Roach, Trey Norwood. So yep. they got some picks here. Now again, some of these guys I know by name from Madden.
So how they develop on your squad.
So I do agree with you, man. I do think the Jets had a good grade, but let me go to a good draft. But the reason why I said the Jaguars, I like that they got ETN to pair with what's his name? Lawrence. I thought that was good. And it was somebody else they picked up, I thought was pretty good too. Oh, Tyson Campbell snatched him up. Walker
dropped. Little. I was surprised he dropped.
Yep. They got an old lineman, Walker Little.
Me too.
Might be all right. Cisco.
Andre Cisco?
Yeah,
he's a beast.
Yeah. And I don't know if this guy's Jay Tufel. I don't know much about him, but.
The tackle from. The tackle from. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, they had a good draft.
Nick, I know you said the Steelers that they need a running back. I mean, you know, with a young QB or with a veteran QB, you definitely want that presence of the running game, and then getting probably the best running back in the draft. You know,
I'm just saying at that spot, like, there was still some good offensive linemen, like, because they lost the brothers. They lost both of the brothers, and they lost Villanueva, right? To the Ravens.
But you can find linemen. Linemen and running backs you can find anywhere in the draft. So I don't think it's imperative, especially at that spot, you know what I'm saying, to necessarily get a draft. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I think ideally probably you probably would go with an offensive lineman there. But Najee Harris is sitting there. You got to take him. That's a value.
His highlights, he's a dog. Yeah. I just don't know
if
he's going to have that same protection that the Steelers are used to. Because obviously, like, the best they got was Weston on James Conner. So now that you don't have that, you losing three of your starters in one offseason. I'm interested to see how this is going to really show how good he is and how good they are retooling.
He ain't going to have to run behind.
I trust the Steelers. The Steelers are a good organizational depth team, too. So they find guys, there's probably a guy on that line that we're not even talking about that'll turn out to be a damn Pro Bowler. I mean, that's just what the Steelers do.
That's what I was going to say. That's how Carolina and the Steelers are similar in that fact, that they'll find a lineman out of nowhere and make them get up to where they. To be up to par.
Ain't nobody saying, what offensive lineman is Carolina really developing like that?
Villanueva came from Carolina. Mike Ribbers. These were all undrafted free agents. Dennis Daly. All those guys were undrafted.
They Pro Bowlers?
They were at some point, at least once for a few of those guys. Campbell. I can't think of what.
Were they Pro Bowlers for the Panthers?
I think. Let me go back and look. I'll get you on that. Yeah.
Oh, he had to do his thing.
He going off their resume. I'm like, nah, what were they doing with Carolina?
I'm gonna find. Yeah. Oh, we had a strong line, but like I said, most of them were undrafted rookies. So that's what I'm saying. The line is not always imperative. You don't get one of those guys that's been there. That's one of those lifetime starters early.
I get
stuff
you.
You can kind of come back to.
Talking about
the damn Steelers. I get you on that, but I remember when they drafted Pouncey, those were first round picks. Like, I remember because Pouncey came out of Ohio State, I believe.
Yep.
So I remember when he was
Florida. They came out of Florida.
Guys, like, look at Dallas. Dallas, they're when they had that big wall of just men, those are all first round picks. And that took some years to gather up.
Right. But those guys weren't available. Those type of players weren't available where they picked. So where Pittsburgh is picking, you couldn't find the Mike Pouncey. You couldn't find one of those guys right there. Those type linemen were the early ones. Not to say that you can't get a good one in that spot, but the great ones, those solid ones like that, they ain't out there.
I mean, if you look at where the Steelers were picking, like, to me, the Raiders for Alex Leatherwood, that was a reach. Like,
right.
I think he's going to be a solid lineman, but to pick him there at that spot when everybody had him projected as a second round pick. At best, that to me was reach. So if like the Steelers would have did that, that kind of been a bit of head scratcher. Like to me, for the Steelers to like, let's say they take Alex Leatherwood there, right? Which fits a line need. You taking Alex Leatherwood over Najee Harris? Yeah.
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and there was only three surefire linemen in the draft, wasn't it?
Nah.
It's a good offensive line draft. It's a good offensive lineman. I mean, they were like the quarterbacks, they were like the top tier. And then there's like everybody else. So the top tier was Sewell, Slater, and
Vera Tucker.
Vera Tucker, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's like your top tier. The rest of them were solid, but those were the surefire. Those are like surefire first rounders. Mm. Everybody else you pick according to need.
Well, Manny, you brought up a team that I feel like this question could be addressed to as well. Since we did our three most impressive teams coming out of the drafts of this draft class, what were the three least impressive drafts that you saw from each team?
Least impressive. Redskins, man. I don't really understand what the Redskins were trying to do. I mean, again, it's all a crapshoot. Who knows? But I will say this. I think the Redskins should have been in on a quarterback more than they were. I don't understand why they weren't trying to trade up to get Fields, or hell, even Mac Jones, in that situation, especially if he fell to 15 to New England. I don't know why The Redskins weren't in on one of these quarterbacks. Maybe they know something that we don't know, but you know, they seem really comfortable with having a mix of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heineke. I wouldn't, but they do. So I don't really understand what the Redskins were doing there. And even their pick, Jamin Davis, like solid, but to me, to take that kind of guy right there at that spot, you had other guys there. Like if you're, to me, I mean, I don't watch that team on an everyday basis, but it feels like they need more offensive. I mean, if you are going to stick with either a Taylor Heineke or a Ryan Fitzpatrick, then you got to get as many offensive weapons as possible. So to me, right there, picking a wide receiver there, picking a running back there, like that would have been a good spot for Najee Harris or Travis Etienne. So yeah, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand the Redskins thinking there. I would say the Redskins. I'm trying to think. The Raiders, I just never understand what the Raiders are doing. Mike Mayock, that dude should literally be fired. Like, this nigga literally thinks he's the smartest guy in the room when it comes to the drafts, and then he ends up overthinking himself. Like, I just don't get it, man. Leatherwood, again, in that spot where you basically overdrafted him in that situation. Some of their other picks were a little head scratchers too. I don't understand what the Raiders are doing, man. That whole regime just leaves a lot to be desired. And then trying to think of that third team. I say the Giants. I say the Giants.
Why is that?
Only because it kind of feel like the Giants were reactive instead of proactive in that first round. So, for instance, I'm spacing out on his name.
The Eagles?
Yeah, when the Eagles traded up in front of him, it just felt like everybody knew the Cowboys wanted one or the other. They wanted Surtain or they wanted J.C. Horn, right? And yeah. And I'm sure the Giants had to know that the Eagles at least had their eyes on Surtain or Devontae Smith. It just felt like the Giants didn't really have a plan. So once the Cowboys and the Eagles made that trade and once Denver picked Surtain, it kind of felt like the Giants were like, all right, whatever. Let's just trade down, I guess, and get an extra pick, which is not a bad move, but I don't know. It just kind of felt like to me that was more of a reactionary move than being proactive. Because, like, to me, if you want your guy, then you go up and get him. You don't let anybody beat you. Like, why don't they call? And I'm sure they did. We're not in these war rooms, right? But why didn't they call Carolina and be like, yo, trade back three spots. We'll give you an extra first round pick and you can assure yourself of getting a Surtain or a Smith or whoever. I don't know. I just kind of felt like that was a little bit of a panic move when they found themselves on 11 and both of their guys are gone. So they just kind of was like, all right, well, let's trade down.
Well, I do agree that with you that it was reactionary, but that was, to me, it was like the best reaction that you could have in that draft. Cause again, you didn't get the guy that you wanted. However, when you traded back, you ended up getting somebody that could possibly be the steal in the draft. Because the more I keep on hearing about Kadarius Toney, it's like this kid was like is explosive.
He's nice.
Yeah,
you even mentioned it on draft day. Like you was like this kid is nice. They saying he's like Percy Harvin. He could be like Tariq Hill if he gets his route running skills a little bit better. And he's hard to bring down and he could work in the punt return and return game. But also mostly important, like again, I keep going back to this point. They got a first round pick and a fourth round pick out of that from the Bears. So they going into next year's draft, two first round picks. They could flip that four quarterback. Like if they wanted to get Russell Wilson out of Seattle, if they want to get Aaron Rodgers to try, they have now draft capital and they've proven last season that they can compete in some games and beat a team like a Seattle and even, you know, almost beat a team like the Tampa Bay Bucks. So all they're really missing is one more year, get some more continuity. And I can see like, okay, we can see what they're doing. They're one game away from winning the division. So I do think that it was, all the more reason to hate the Eagles for them basically coming in and swooping up Devontae Smith. But at the same time, Devontae Smith for a Heisman winner to fall all the way to 11, 10, or 12, whatever, like, to me, that says more about, like, he has to be in a specific system. I am interested in seeing if the Eagles can utilize his skill set the way he's supposed to be. So that could be that's a potential bust right there. But as far as them trading back in the draft capital they got back and the player that they traded back to get, I think they did a really good job. But I'm obviously biased, so that don't mean
I'm not like I kind of hesitated on the Giants pick. Like, I still think it was still a reactionary move. And as far as the quarterback, like, you having the draft capital, we don't know what's going to happen with none of these damn quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, is Russell Wilson still trying to be traded? Not traded? Who knows? Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think you can necessarily run your team like that. I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm just saying I don't think you necessarily say, "Oh yeah, let's get as many first round picks because Aaron Rodgers might become available in 2022." Like, I don't think you can necessarily do that. Look, I don't think it was a terrible move, especially because they got Kadarius Toney. I just feel like if you're willing to trade back in that spot, why didn't you just trade up? I guess that's just my summation there. If you were really in that situation where you were reactionary because one of your guys or two of your guys were gone, then you probably put yourself, to me, I'd rather be aggressive, trade up and get the guy I want and make sure that he's there, or at least I get that guy, than to necessarily pull off a reactionary trade because he's not there. I guess that's my, we differ on that.
For me, man, I'm gonna go with the Raiders. Just because I think, I just basically agree with what Manny said. I think John Gruden definitely thinks he's smarter than everybody. And for the last two drafts, he's proven he hasn't been the smartest guy with some of those picks and how they turned out. The Eagles, because I still think it was crazy for them to trade up to get Devontae Smith when they could have gotten somebody else. I just don't think he's going to be that impactful.
That's what I was thinking, too.
So, nah. Nah. And all 32 teams in the NFL, because none of them picked a player from an HBCU. Shout out to Deion Sanders.
I forgot
you. Time for calling him out. Mm-hmm. And I will read what he said. And we have he put it on Instagram, and we have the audacity to hate on one another while our kids are being neglected and rejected. I witnessed a multitude of kids that we played against that were more qualified to be drafted. My prayers are that this won't ever happen again. Get your knife out my back and fight with me, not against me. 259 players were drafted this year, and none were from HBCU.
Facts.
So the whole NFL.
Especially if you're seeing draft picks like all over the place.
The leadership y'all saying is just a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. Especially if, like I said, you're seeing players drafted from all over the place. I mean, Trey Lance, where did he go to school? I mean, you can't tell me, you know, North Dakota State is facing stiffer competition in HBCU at this point. Like, it's got to be relative. It's got to be pretty much comparable at that rate, right? Like, so, yeah, I don't. Listen, we'll be here all day having that conversation.
Yeah. So. And speaking of that, I agree with Manny and you, Ken, on the Raiders. The Raiders was my number one pick for the same reasons you said, Manny. It seems like they're always trying to catch that lightning in the bottle. They want to make that shot pick. Like, they're picking like they're picking on a video game.
They're picking like that. They're like, see, this is a guy you're not even thinking about. But see, yeah, we're a few of you guys that are, we're right. Like, what? Like,
and they've done it.
Trevor Moherick, like, he has a back injury. Like, he just had surgery. He just had a discotomy, 2 months ago?
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
The kid, but to pick him right there in the second round, like, I don't know, bro.
And it's been like that since Farrell. They picked Farrell a couple years ago.
Yeah, Farrell with the fourth pick. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, and he wasn't even the fourth best lineman on the team.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it just doesn't make sense to me what they're doing there in Las Vegas. I think I had Washington as well. And surprisingly, I didn't like San Francisco's draft. I thought that although I like Trey Lance and I feel like he may be okay, there's no way I would move up to pick him third over Justin Fields. There's just not a reason to do that for me. Justin Fields has proved it time and time again that he deserves. He's played in the big moments. He's done these things. Lance hadn't even thrown, but how many starts did he have in his whole career?
I think 17, maybe.
Yeah, something. It was a small amount. It was just a very small sample size.
He's only started one year, right. And then 2020 was the one game because the season was
1 year, one game. So he had a very small sample size in a very weak competition. Mm-hmm. So in saying that, it's kind of tough to put him up so high And, you know, hopefully it's a gamble that pays off for him, but it would have been tough for me to move up to take that pick. If I'm going to move up, I'm not going to move up to third to take him. It would have been to move up to take Justin, but.
And if you're moving up to the top three pick, like if you're moving up as far back as they, as far up as they went, and it still seemed like even when they traded up, they didn't even know which guy they were taking. Like they were still indecisiveness in the building as to who.
Right.
They were taking. Some people in that building love Mac Jones. Some people in that building love Trey Lance. To me, if I'm trading from 12 to 3, I know who I'm taking.
Right.
At least I have a very good idea of who I'm taking. Mm-hmm. They just basically traded up. And I have my issues with the 49ers. If y'all let me go off on my tangent later, I will. Because I feel like it's time we start calling out Kyle Shanahan on being overrated.
Mm.
That's just me.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I would say, but the number one for me, I, of course, we could say the Raiders. We could even say, who else was it? I got to think of the other team, but the one that sticks out to me is Denver. Denver getting Patrick Surtain over Justin Fields makes no sense to me. Makes Rick. Absolutely no sense to me. And I know we keep on bringing up Justin Fields' names, but it's the audacity that these franchises have by just letting them be on the board when they need a QB.
Mm-hmm.
And John Elway, I guess, only seems to care about guys that are future Hall of Famers that he don't really have to explain to the media and let them take the hit as far as why he's maybe trying to make certain moves to get them. But if Justin Fields is right there and you're a quarterback, wait, why are you getting a corner? Like, granted, he's the best corner. He maybe have been the best corner in the draft, but that's not going to win you games. You know what I mean? Like that, especially in a division with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and granted, Derek Carr, but he's still a good quality QB. Like, you need to put points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
You need a QB that can be dynamic. You need a QB that proves that you know what the fuck you're doing as a GM. Like, I don't know. I just, to me, that Patrick Surtain at number 9, I was like, oh, yeah, they really don't give a fuck about this guy. Like, they really just gonna let this motherfucker slip.
And the only thing I could think of is, like I said, in Denver, the only thing I could think of that they're doing is maybe hoping to get Rodgers or something happen. Now, I was thinking some of that for some of those teams because I was trying to figure, even, you know, Carolina, for example, like, what's the thought process? Is it we're going to sit here and wait on Houston to fall out of favor with Watson and we're going to pick him up? What is the thought process to some of those? Washington, the same thing. What are you thinking about quarterback-wise? Like, are you thinking, like, you're going to get something else? Is there something else brewing that we don't know about? That's the only thing I can think of for some of these teams.
I think sometimes we assume these teams think about these quarterbacks the way we do, right? Like, maybe Washington just didn't like Justin Fields. Like, and that's their right. Now, time will tell whether they're right or wrong. Maybe Denver just was like, yo, we think Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater is better than Justin Fields and Mac Jones. I don't think that, but maybe they do. Now we'll see. Time will tell if they're right or not. I think sometimes we just assume that, oh, well, we think we would do this. These damn NFL teams and these GMs would do it. And as we've seen, a lot of these dudes just don't think like we do and vice versa. So,
but we see that they make mistakes count time and time again. Like,
but they don't even know go back that to recent drafts. Like, there was a moment in time where there were some people that thought taking, you know, Blake Bortles at 3 was a pretty decent idea.
I didn't.
You didn't, but I'm saying there was somebody that could, like, anybody could convince themselves to think anything is a good idea in the moment. Now, again, time will tell whether that is a good idea or not.
But
isn't that video of the Eagles getting into it in the draft room about something? I think he said,
oh, I didn't see that.
I'm mad because they traded back. Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
But my thing is, like,
somebody know that somebody fucking up.
Exactly. Somebody's in this room like, bro, y'all gotta be sick. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Patrick Surtain over Justin Fields. Like, who has more impact on their team? Justin Fields might have made the Bears a legit Super Bowl contender by just being drafted.
Right, and that's the thing, too. With that, I think about, like, we think about the economic side of it. Like, a cornerback is not going to make that much box office difference because you got owners in that room that just want to see, like we talk about all the time, they want to see the profit on the bottom line. Bringing in a guy that's going to sell some jerseys, a face of the franchise, that means more than filling a solid spot. So the only logical thinking behind that to me is you already got wind that Aaron Rodgers wants out. And maybe we got a shot at Aaron Rodgers. Let's go ahead and work this out. But that's the only thing I could think of. There's no reason to think otherwise.
I'll give y'all another team, Minnesota. Like, Minnesota was right there. Why didn't they trade up to try to get a Justin Fields? Like, I think Minnesota is in a situation where they should be looking. You know, there's rumors that they wanted Justin Fields if he had fallen. There ain't no if. Like, if Justin Fields is that? Even, like, within 5 picks of me, like, I got to go up and get him.
The only reason I didn't mention Minnesota, and I agree with you, it would make sense for them to do, is the fact that they're stuck with Kirk Cousins for the next 2 years. His salary cap hit. There's no way to get out of him. So what they did was they drafted a quarterback in the second round that may take a little bit more development with a high upside that could kind of get them over the hump after he's done. But other than that, there's no way to get around.
You could have done the same thing with Justin Fields. And I get what you're saying from the financial aspect of it. But mm-hmm. my thing is, who do you rather, if you ask any Vikings fan, who do you rather have, Justin Fields or Kellen Mond? Like,
right. And I, like I said, I agree with you on that, but who did they draft with their
And I always feel like the contract stuff is always a little bit overblown anyway, because as we've seen, teams can trade you if they want to. Like, you know, who would have thought Matthew Stafford in that contract could have been traded? And guess what? They figured it out, right? Like,
but you see what teams traded for him, though. It's always those big market teams. And Shelton, I think it was the left tackle, Christian.
Darisaw, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's who they got first round, which mm-hmm. isn't a bad pick, but I don't mind the Kellen Mond pick. I don't mind that at all. I think Minnesota was kind of just like, let's just see who falls to us and then we'll react from there. Because I do agree with Shelton. I think the Vikings and the Falcons are on the same page as far as we owe these old white men too much money to be trying to rebuild right now, because that will we'll be having 1 foot in and 1 foot out pretty much, which is why.
The only disagreement I have with Minnesota is I feel like just like Jimmy, just like San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, let's say you make it known that you have Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo available. The league is so bereft of good quarterbacks, yo, that like, you literally make a Kirk Cousins available and all the issues that all of us have with Kirk Cousins, there will be teams lining up to trade for Kirk Cousins in a heartbeat. Like, they will be.
Howie Roseman said, we've made mistakes forcing picks and forcing positions. So they know they be fucking up, man.
Who said that?
Howie Roseman of the Eagles. Oh. So they know. If somebody knows, yeah.
The draft is... The draft is a crapshoot. I keep saying it. Like, yo, none of us know. We're sitting here.
Here's the thing, Manny. It's a crapshoot.
But you're paid to
take the guy you want. If you force a pick, you're just doubling down on the crapshoot.
That's what I was going to say, Manny. What you're saying when you say that, every time you say it, because you said it several times, it's 110% true. But you're paid to know. That's your job. Your job is to know. You got to be a fortune teller. Otherwise, you're not going to have a job.
It's easier said than done, Shelton. How many times have you seen it? No, for real, it's easier said than done.
That's why you pay GMs. That's why you pay managers. As a manager,
I agree with you.
Let's just say a manager of a Fortune 500 company, for example. His job is to put people in place that make sense. Now, do you know if that person is a workout? Technically, no. But your job is to put yourself in the best position for success. You don't go in there saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to pick. You don't think about it that way.
You make the best selections based on the resume. I completely understand what you're saying. But people, like, I just feel like a lot of times we overestimate that, yo, this shit is a crapshoot. Like, even Trevor Lawrence, the consensus number one pick. Mm-hmm. This dude can walk into OTA, break his leg in 6 places, and it's never the same again. Like, that has happened. That can happen. I know I'm being hyperbolic, but it can happen.
Oh, it definitely can.
Is that the GM's fault that Trevor Lawrence landed wrong and broke his leg? Like these things happen. Like, we don't know. A couple of years ago, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz would pick 1 and 2. They're both on the second teams now. Like, we just don't know.
I'm gonna say this, Shelton. The reason why Manny is saying what he's saying, because he's a Jets fan. Every draft is a damn crapshoot for the Jets.
You're damn right, bro. Listen, hey, while you bullshitting, you are absolutely 100% right on that.
That is true. But yeah, you're paid to know. That's why they're in the positions, man.
I agree with you, Shelton, because I'm just like, the Bengals have like the smallest scout team in the NBA, in an NFL. Yet we have more Pro Bowlers than the Jets, I believe. I don't think the Jets had any Pro Bowlers.
Listen, a high school team has more Pro Bowlers than the Jets. That's not saying much.
I'm only saying that comparison, not to really right. shit on the Jets, no, but to say it. That no, if the Bengals can scout, everybody can scout. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my only thing. You can at least get two motherfuckers. Granted, it's seven rounds. You probably only want to get three legit NFL players in every draft. Everybody else is going to be off the team in 5 years.
If you get three legit players in the NFL draft, you're lucky.
Exactly.
Right.
But my thing is, like,
I'm not saying y'all wrong. I'm just saying that sometimes I feel like we just assume, like, we have the luxury of looking at it in real time and then also having hindsight, right? So, like, in hindsight, you know, why would the Buccaneers take Jameis Winston, you know, knowing that he would turn out the way he turned out? Like, of course, but we didn't know that then. You know what I'm saying? Or we didn't know that Carson Wentz was going to be injury prone. Or we didn't know that Jared Goff was going to be afraid to throw the ball deep. Like, we just didn't know these things. So in the moment, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we just don't know how this stuff is going to turn out, man. These situations, there's players. We talked about it on Thursday. It's like a lot of times we put these kids that are 21, 22 in some cases in these billion-dollar organizations, like, here, go perform. Like, Trey Lance has a lot of pressure. This is a kid that is essentially
– the least amount of pressure out of all the quarterbacks.
I think he has the most pressure.
Trey Lance? No, Trey Lance doesn't have a lot because unless they get rid of Garoppolo, he has to start because most people are not expecting him to start the first year.
He's the only QB that got drafted that does not have to start, like in the first round, that does not have to start day one.
Okay, what if he starts next year and he's not as good as Jimmy Garoppolo? Now you have fans saying, okay, we traded up 9 spots, traded up multiple first round picks to get a guy who can't play.
What do you define as not as good as Jimmy Garoppolo?
Doesn't take us to a Super Bowl, isn't a borderline Pro Bowler. Like, that is a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying that is a possibility.
But even with that happening though, Manny, it's still kind of not pressure because you've had a year to kind of get adjusted, and the fact that you're kind of forgotten at that point in some cases. So even if they get on you, you're still a better man. And I would rather that pressure than to start from day one in the NFL. There ain't no greater pressure than that.
You're a top 10 pick. You're a top 10 pick.
And it don't matter.
And as a quarterback.
If you're a top 10 pick that gets to sit at home, I mean, gets to sit on the sidelines and watch for a year.
Here's why he has more pressure, because he's going to a ready-made team, arguably. Like, he's going to a team already there that's on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl. Zach Wilson, I'm just saying Zach Wilson has pressure because he's the number two overall pick, and you traded a guy who people think is going to still be a great quarterback. So he has pressure. But I'm saying Zach Wilson's going to a terrible team, quote unquote. So he doesn't have that pressure of necessarily going in there and from day one being successful. Trey Lance, again, if he starts, I'm not saying this coming season. I'm talking about 2022 and beyond. If he goes out there and he's not as good, even if he has a Jalen Hurst type start where it's kind of uneven, some games he's good, some games he's bad, like, a lot of people are going to be sitting there like, yo, we traded up 9 spots to get
this. I'm going to let you know this right now, Manny. Trey Lance is in the best position because he got the least amount of pressure. Your boy Zach Wilson, even Justin Fields are in more high pressure position because these motherfuckers want to see results now. Chicago's like, we got this. We had a top 10 defense, top 5 defense for the last 3 to 5 years.
And the 49ers don't?
With it. And the Jets have been like, we have been dealing with a teenager at quarterback for the last, that still gets mono over the age of 18. And we haven't seen it from that.
Zach Wilson, no one's brought up the fact that
Zach Wilson, no one scouted this motherfucker. They just said, oh, this nigga's from BYU and he going to the Jets. And everybody just was like, all right, cool, bet. No, so we going to see what that looks like.
But I'm just saying, like.
Right. So what happens is if he goes in there and he doesn't immediately play as good as Sam Darnold, he's already out in people's brains. So that's what I'm saying. That's why
I'm not arguing with y'all.
Ain't nobody saying, we expect him to lose anyway. Nah, you taking the place of a loser. I'm saying is, if I get to sit for a year and watch, it don't matter. I mean, it matters what I do, but it's no pressure because all I got to do is sit here and learn from this guy and watch this team play. I'm in the best position. He has a veteran in front of him, so there's no pressure immediately. The pressure comes when you're drafted high and all eyes are on you that first game. The second game, they're looking at the next year's draft picks. They're worried about them. They'll still care about you, but not as much as they would if you were starting day one. Day one starters, those are the ones with the pressure. Ask Patty Mahomes.
but you could sit for a year and still be trash.
you definitely can.
This idea that like,
it's not that he's going to be good because he's sitting. It's that he gets to sit without the pressure of having to play.
I still think he has pressure. I still think he has a lot of pressure.
My basic
argument is all these quarterbacks have pressure. Some to a varying degree over others, but I think all of them to act like Trey Lance just has, he could just walk in there and be garbage next year.
No one's thinking about Trey Lance in 2020 and this upcoming season. No one's really thinking about Trey Lance. We got so much other shit to think about. Here's the other thing about it.
Jimmy Garoppolo can sneeze and ends up on the IL for 10 damn weeks. And now you're putting this kid again who has not played college football in essentially a year. Here you go. Lead a Super Bowl contending team.
But see, if he didn't start the year, that's where it goes to. It's kind of like, okay, we expect him to not be where he's supposed to be right now because he was supposed to sit.
That's the thing. That's the thing they did with.
That's the reason why he's not starting.
That's the thing they did with Justin Herbert last year. If it wasn't for Tyrod Taylor, for the Chargers trying to fuck up Tyrod Taylor, we won't even know what Justin Herbert is. We had no expectations for who the fuck he is. We thought he was over reach at where he picked.
Yes, and he didn't play great those first couple games. That's what I'm saying. He didn't have the pressure to play great. Now, once he started turning it on, everybody was watching and cheering or you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, they was championing him. But he didn't have the pressure to play immediately that the other guys had. He didn't have that pressure. Joe Burrow had pressure. He had to play the first day. He had to play that first snap. So you can't tell me that Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow felt the same pressures because they didn't. It wasn't the same.
Herbert had pressure because he didn't want that black man to get back on the field.
let's transition a little bit.
Hey, we got a couple super chats real quick.
Okay.
This one, Manny, we're going to need you on this one. Manish Gundar says, a couple baseball questions. Appreciate you, Manish. Appreciate y'all for the super chats as always. Thoughts on the Padres and Tatis? Thoughts on Shohei Ohtani? Cheers. Cheers to you too, Manish.
Cheers. Thank you for the message. I don't know, thoughts pertaining to what? Just them in general or?
Yeah, he didn't say what, I guess.
Tatis, he's burning up, man. Yeah, he's basically like the LeBron of baseball right now. At least when LeBron was 22, I'm scared as hell of him. Every time I see him swing the bat, I'm just nervous because he's got that shoulder injury where he keeps popping in and out that eventually he needs surgery. So they're trying to manage it without surgery right now. So every time he swings, I'm just like, damn. But I mean, the dude is—he's legit. He's legit the face of baseball, man, right now, or at least one of them. Trout is so damn boring, so you can't really market Trout. But this dude is—he's on the cover of the show. I mean, he's in San Diego. San Diego's a glamour team right now. So, yeah. As far as you said, Shohei, man. I got questions about him, man. That two-way shit, I don't know how sustainable that is, man. Especially starting and then also being a prodigious power hitter. I just don't know how sustainable it is over 162. It's cool. It's fun to look at, but it's a reason why it hasn't been done in 100 years because I just don't know.
And he hasn't held up either.
Course of 162.
He's hurt every year.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing.
What about Vlad Jr.? He was balling, right? How's he doing?
Yeah, well, hitters in general are struggling right now, man. I think there's a lot of pieces being written that hitters right now are struggling. I think
I saw that.
way ahead of the hitting right now. I mean, Lindor has been horrible for the Mets so far.
Yeah, I think
as the weather heats up around the country, you know, you start getting into June, July, I think you start seeing the balls flying again and all that. But yeah, right now hitters are way behind. I haven't even checked Vlad's stats, to be honest. But I know that he lost a bunch of weight, and I know that he's still struggling defensively at first. His natural position was the third baseman, but eventually they're just going to have to put him at DH because I don't think he can really manage first or third base for a long period of time. I think eventually
it seems like baseball got a lot of young stars and names that people just kind of are being attracted to, like Tatis and Vlad Jr. I just saw Dustin May got surgery.
Tommy John,
Judge.
I'm talking younger guys.
Oh, younger than that.
Yeah, people kind of overjudge.
Yeah.
He
Bellinger was kind of one for a minute, you know.
Yeah, baseball's always got that good crop of young talent coming in. I think that's, I don't want to say it's different than other sports, but it's like baseball always kind of has that steady stream of young talent coming in. It's just marketing them. Like, again, Tatis should be on every damn poster in America if you're a baseball exec. Like, I want this kid on every damn poster, every damn commercial, every damn everything, right? Like, he's bilingual. Yeah. He's Hispanic, and he speaks English very well, which is a plus, in my opinion. Like, because a lot of times when you see a lot of Latino players, like, their English is their second language, it's either broken English or you could tell it's with an accent. Nah, he clearly speaks English. It's well, he's actually practiced it and actually has gotten better with it. So yeah, man, the sky's the limit for the dude. Like I said, if he could just manage the injury as far as his shoulder, because eventually he's gonna need surgery on it because it keeps popping out. So that muscle's loose in there. So every time he swings or the backswing, it just causes that shoulder to pop out. So far he's been good since he came back from the DL, but we'll see. And then Shohei, man, I just don't know if the two-way thing can last for 162. But it's fun to see.
Any other super chat?
Acuna Jr. That was the other one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Acuna is on another level, man.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you about. I was going to ask you whether you take Acuna over Tatis, Manny.
I would. Mm. I would. Acuna is legit, bro. Like, yeah. He's legit.
I was thinking so too. I was just thinking, what is he gonna get paid when this payday comes up?
Well, he signed an extension. Ball. You know what they do with all arbitration? Like,
they ship them all.
Yeah.
No, Atlanta signed him to a very friendly team contract, like 7 years, $100 million, I think.
Hey.
Because remember, they bought out some of his arbitration years. Because in baseball, you have arbitration, so they bought like 3 or 4 years of arbitration. Bought off his like first 2 or 3 years of free agency. So Atlanta's getting him at what, $20 million a year, which is a steal because he could easily make $400 million. Easily. Right.
So let me ask you one last baseball question. We'll move on.
What's up, man? Dead End Sports got some baseball questions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You think it's too early to say the Lindor situation was like is a failure?
No. It's way too early. I mean, what? He's played 25 games into his first season with the Mets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, he's struggling really bad. I'm starting to get concerned because the at-bats are just like he's not even having good at-bats. Like, it's one thing to struggle, especially in baseball. If you're struggling, your numbers aren't where you're at, but you're at least giving you a good at-bat every game. You're hitting the ball hard, but Lindor is just he's up there flailing at pitches. Like, it just looks really bad. I'm not ready to pull the panic button yet. What's that?
That money weighing him down.
Yeah, man. It's
all just nah, but for money. Real, I mean, yo, you this dude, he signed a $341 million contract. Like, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to go in there. Like, these cats, yo, they signed that contract and they think they got to go up there in the first game, hit a 9-run home run. Like, bro, chill out. Yeah. Like, still do what you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. Ain't nothing changed. You got to still trust the process. I hate that term because it's overused now, but you still got to trust that process. You still got to keep doing what you're doing, do the things that got you there.
Right.
But I'm not concerned about Lindor. At the end of the day, you're gonna turn around. You're going to see the numbers still be there.
Cool. Let me see what else we got. We got Kalen McCoy. Hey, man, appreciate you always, partner, for stepping up with us. Kalen said, is it almost time for Elway to go? He's bad with QBs.
That's why they didn't take one. He was like, man, exactly. I ain't fucking this one. Fucking this one up. I just won't take one.
I would think they would get him some help, maybe change his position or something like that.
They did. He's got a GM. He's not the GM anymore. He's now he's just basically overseeing everything. So they hired a GM. The first year GM is in now. So the technically overseer. That was his.
Right.
Let me call him something else. They need to take that away too.
That's they call him the overseer.
The overseer.
Yeah, he's a liaison.
He's liaison. Yeah.
But yeah, they won't fire him.
Nah, he is the Broncos, man. They're not. Elway's going to leave when Elway wants to leave. I mean, he is that franchise. The best thing they could do is like Shelton said, which they did. They hired a GM, so hopefully that GM knows what the hell he's doing. So far, jury's still out because he picked Sertan over.
Jury's out as fuck. Unless they get A-Rod, is out as fuck. And that's like my last question to y'all as far as the NFL that we're covering.
Oh, we got one more super chat too.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We Them Boys asked, and this is for you too, Nick. Is next season Daniel Jones make or break year?
Unfortunately, yes, it is. I say unfortunate because, like, he got drafted. Now he second year he played in a pandemic, and now his third year is when he has to get tested. I don't know. This is, I see the talent in him, but at the same time,
come on, man. Come on, man.
I'm talking about a legend right now, so it's hard for me to get these words out.
Legend. Oh my god.
Is I see the talent in him, but I can't stand on the mountaintop with no facts.
Sound like you breaking up with a girl. It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's me.
I love Daniel Jones.
I think the thing is though, I think he's gonna have a breakout year. As biased as that sounds, I think, and by breakout year, I mean he's gonna have less than 15 picks or turnovers in general.
That's a breakout year.
That's a breakout year for me. Because when he don't turn the ball, obviously, like most QBs, when he don't turn the ball over, he's a really good, competent QB. It ain't like he's stupid. It's just like he just, I don't know. I feel like the game is still a little sped up for him. But I think this season is he's gonna prove himself whether he's gonna be a bust. Or he's going to be that breakout star. But I'm betting on the breakout.
Get you somebody that has as much faith in you as Nick has in Danny Dimes, for real. That man just said a breakout year is under 15 interceptions. So if he has 14, is a breakout year.
You got some low.
He just said, you know, if he just doesn't turn the ball over, he's actually okay. That's like saying a pitcher. If he doesn't just give up 5 home runs, he's actually a pretty decent pitcher.
You know, Daniel Jones, he had, what, 1-2 good games?
Tampa, the comeback against Tampa. That man is living off that comeback.
The media loved him. It gave him a nickname and everything.
Man, I ain't going to say he ain't been shit since. That's disrespect. They almost won the division last year. Like they were
a shitty division, Nick.
They wasn't in it.
They almost won it because of him, and they lost it because of him.
Facts.
Yeah.
No, he was hurt, wasn't he? And then they was hurt in the game.
They had Colt McCoy starting for a while.
Colt McCoy.
That's what I'm saying. We haven't really seen a full legit season.
And he wanted to stick with Colt McCoy over him after he got healthy. So that should tell you everything.
They only did that because of the Seattle game. It was that Seattle game, and that was mostly the defense.
I was going to ask you who won that Seattle game. Was it him or Colt McCoy?
Colt McCoy won them that game.
Oh, okay.
Man, Russell Wilson was high off Sierra that day. It's the only reason they won that game.
We'll be back after this quick break.
My last question to y'all for the NFL. Should Aaron Rodgers force his way out of Green Bay? Is that a smart decision?
No.
No.
I just don't understand this whole Aaron Rodgers situation. Like, I mean, there's something else that's not being talked about. Like, cause I just don't get it. First of all, this idea, like, can we talk about this narrative that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have enough help? Like, where did this come from? Like, he's got Davante Adams, which is probably a top three.
Keep going down the list. I want to see how many fingers you get as far as this help.
Davante Adams. He's got arguably three good running backs in Aaron Jones, Jamal.
If you got three good running backs, you ain't got a running back.
Man, get out of here. You know, Jones is a pro.
It's only Aaron Jones.
AJ Dillon kid is coming. Huh? Dillon is a beast too.
He ain't here yet.
Okay. He a little monster. He ain't a beast.
He's got a good offensive line.
You said a good offensive line. What did that offensive line do in the title games? Back to back title games. What did that offensive line do?
Did San Francisco not beat the shit out of that offensive line? No. Here's a question for you. What did Aaron Rodgers do in 2 back to back games in the AFC Championship game?
So you talking about MVP? You talking about MVP?
Yeah, the MVP that in 3 straight drives off of turnovers scored no points. That MVP that got killed in San Francisco two years ago. The same MVP that didn't play well in Seattle. That MVP. The same MVP that let Eli Manning walk into his building when he was 15-1. And Eli Manning and the Giants beat him. A 9-7 Giants team.
That was a Super Bowl winning team.
Aaron Rodgers. And I love Aaron Rodgers. It kills me to do this. But Aaron Rodgers blames everybody else. You ever notice that it's always everybody else's fault with Aaron Rodgers? You ever notice that?
My question to you, out of everybody who deserves criticism on the Green Bay Packers, you're putting it mostly on Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Okay. Not the GM,
What did the GM do that was so broad? You can't blame LaFleur. The only thing you can blame LaFleur was his call on fourth and whatever. Like kicking the field goal there was stupid. That's the only thing that you, if you want to kill
LaFleur, kill the GM.
What are you calling the GM for?
Why are you drafting Jordan Love? Why are you drafting Jordan Love when if you got a Super Bowl MVP and you're going and you just came back off of an NFC title?
The same reason the Packers in 2005 drafted Aaron Rodgers when you had Brett Favre coming off a career year. The same concept.
Oh, it sounds like you're trying to save these Packers.
Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers in college were on two different levels.
There was a lot of people that thought Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be good in the NFL.
Come on, Manny. Don't do that. Don't do revision. Don't do revisionist history. Aaron Rodgers was in the. He was sitting there like Mac Jones.
Here we go with this revisionist history. We're looking at it from 2021 lenses. I remember that 2005 draft. There was a lot of people that had question marks about Aaron Rodgers. His throw motion. Remember his.
That's why he dropped.
Exactly. That's why he dropped.
He came. He was going into that draft saying that he may go number one. They thought he was going to be a top five pick. No one thought Jordan Love was going to be a top five pick.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the concept in which you draft a Jordan Love.
Your audio is acting funny. We can't even hear you.
Let me go on record. I don't think Jordan Love is ever going to be anything close to Aaron Rodgers. The point that I'm trying to make is you just said, why would you do that? It's the same notion that you would do that. They have a Aaron Rodgers who's always been hurt and is what, 36? They got to start thinking about the next quarterback. Now, I wouldn't do that, but I can't blame them for thinking that. Like, I can't blame them for thinking that, just like they did a decade prior.
Mike, Manny, something going on with your mic.
Manny, yeah, your audio going down.
Your audio's going real low.
You hear me now?
It's like a noise compressor or something on it. It's probably a bullshit filter.
No, I was thinking he.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
It's still kind of low.
Yeah, maybe try to unplug it and plug it back in or something like that, or turn it off, turn it back on.
Right. I was thinking he probably should stand pat because that's his best chance of winning. I don't know where else he could go and do better than where he is now, if that makes sense. He has this team on the cusp. They were one play, you know, away from moving on, and you know they could have won. They could have won the whole thing and been fine doing it as well. I just think he's in the best place for himself. I don't think he has a team that he can go to, a la Tom Brady, and make it championship level team. You know what I'm saying? I think that if he goes to, say he does go to Denver, if he goes to Denver, they're still a couple years away from being where he would be if he stayed in Green Bay, I would think. So that's the only reason I think he should stay. Now, should he be upset with them? Yeah, they done treated him bad this whole time. But you stayed through this long. He should have been wanting out last year.
Now, my thing is, I think Denver is the only spot. Denver, maybe New York, are the only other spots where like you could probably see, especially if he goes to New York, because that division is crappy anyway. So he at least can guarantee a playoff spot with that. Him going to the NFC, the AFC West, that's gonna be some. Great to see as far as him and Patty go get at it twice a year, but that's going to be another obstacle you got to get through to get to a Super Bowl. But for me, I think he should leave Green Bay. I think Green Bay, like Manny said, has told him, like, look, we see you out of the door more than being inside with us, so let's go get another QB, and then we'll see what happens. Now, to me, it's just like, all right, if you plan on trying to get another QB to do a rebuild and move on from Aaron Rodgers, then that means that you're ready to move on. So don't keep me around and don't act like you want me now and don't have people like Manny try to cape for me.
There we go.
And act like we surrounded Aaron Rodgers with the best talent possible when they haven't.
I never said that.
Class is always shitty. They ain't spending no bread. The players that they got are decent at best.
Decent at best, huh? Okay.
Decent at best. Outside of Davante Adams, there's nobody else I really care for on the Packers. Honestly.
I like Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones is fine, but he is not one of the best running backs in the league, in my opinion. Okay. At least not consistently. Davante Adams is one of the best wide receivers. Probably the
rushed for like 1,400 yards last year. And he was a Pro Bowler.
I saw DeMarco Murray do some shit like that too. So that's just me.
So who is, again, my question is this narrative that's out there, because that's what it is. It's a narrative that Aaron Rodgers is playing with the 07 Cavs, the football edition. It's just ludicrous to me. Like, again, they're 26-5 in 2 years with Matt LaFleur as a coach. They got to two straight AFC championship games, one that they absolutely should have won. Again, I'm just missing to find where is the disconnect. Like, this idea that Aaron Rodgers is 7-9 back-to-back years playing with mediocre talent. Like, I just don't see it. Like, where is it? Like,
it is mediocre talent because he's developed most of those players himself. Him being the player that he is, he helped Davante Adams be the receiver.
Tom Brady won Super Bowls with less talent than Aaron Rodgers has right now.
Tom Brady was in a system that won Super Bowls.
Oh, okay.
Tom Brady was in a system that won him Super Bowls, but he didn't have to perform to the levels that Aaron Rodgers has to pretty much to get them as far as he does. Like, those first three Super Bowls was a very defensive team with the
Pats. I'm talking about recently.
Tom Brady was on a – you talking about the Bucs?
No, not the Bucs. I mean, the Bucs, I mean, we can't even compare that. I'm just saying, on the Patriots recently, he's won championships with less talent than Aaron Rodgers.
First of all, he's in a different conference. AFC is different than AFC as far as competition.
They're still playing football, right?
They're playing football, but it's two different type. It's a different – there's only like two, three teams that you got to worry about in the AFC, if that. There's about five of them in the NFC that you got to go through. That's why Tom Brady had that whole – parade about him being the greatest athlete of all time because he ran through Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patty Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to go through some motherfuckers to get there. In the AFC, Patty had to go through Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. Like,
name me the quarterbacks that have better rosters to work with than Aaron Rodgers.
Obviously, Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I'll even say the Seattle does. I would say,
okay. But somehow Russell Wilson can't get that team out of the wild card. But hey, I digress.
Hey, that's a Russell Wilson question. We talking about Aaron Rodgers. put me on the spot.
Minnesota,
definitely.
Well, because they got the two receivers and Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. They got that. And they got some defensive players, too.
And they still missed the playoffs.
The Colts. The
Colts? Better roster
overall. You talking about
just on offense? Just on offense. I'm not even considering defense.
I was talking about overall roster.
Oh, no. That's my fault. An offensive roster. Better than offensive roster.
Oh, the Chargers.
I'm with you on the Bucks and the Vikings.
And Seattle.
Seattle's offensive line is shitty, but go off. I'll be nice and give you that one.
I'm about to say shit. The Green Bay ain't got no. They got the motherfucking.
They got two Pro Bowlers on the line, but somehow they got a shitty offensive line. Got it.
I didn't say they shitty. I just say they ain't that great. They ain't got the best offensive line in the game. But the Cowboys. Who else? Yeah, that's about 6-7 teams.
All
right
teams
there.
All those teams that you listed outside of Seattle missed the playoffs last year. Like, again, listen.
Your point is that the roster without a QB is not a playoff team, right?
My point is that we make too much. There's a narrative out there that Aaron Rodgers is basically playing with you, Ken, me, and Shelton out there. Like, no, he's playing with talented players. Okay, is it more talented than the Vikings? Is it more talented than Seattle? No. But that's not the reason that they haven't won the last couple of years. I just don't buy into that. Again, this man had the ball off of two straight interceptions and turnovers and scored no points. Because they didn't have a scat back running back. Well,
my thing, man,
I think one of those guys ran a wrong route or dropped the ball.
Thing is that, man, I do agree with you. He did not show up in that one specific game. But I'm telling you, they're not even sniffing an NFC title game without this man.
Oh, yeah, that's
the facts. The point that you made that I felt like was my point is that you can have a decent roster, but without that QB, they ain't doing shit.
And the Bucks teams have more talent than Rodgers.
Bucks have more talent than everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's
they still needed Tom Brady to be in there. The Cowboys, granted, that got hurt. You couldn't just place anybody in there.
Absolutely. And say, oh, that's the, exactly. That's what makes, that's why quarterbacks make $40 million. I'm not arguing that. Your general point, I'm not arguing. My whole thing is like people take your point and run with it. Like, oh, poor Aaron Rodgers. He's basically playing with the $72 or the $76. Like what? Like, yo, this dude is playing with
that shitty. I'm just saying they not that good without him. They're not that good. They are.
But you can say that about a lot of teams. Look at that Patriots. Look at the Patriots team that beat the Falcons. Look at the Patriots team that beat the Falcons. Were they that good without Tom Brady?
The Chiefs were pretty good without Patrick Mahomes when he sat down. They still won games.
That's what I'm saying. My point is that Aaron Rodgers, he could force his way out. I don't know where he'll land. But right now, Green Bay is, they've already shown that they'll really, like, they ready to move on.
They stopped giving a fuck about Aaron Rodgers couple years ago.
Exactly. Once they realize, like, oh, you ain't got us into another Super Bowl since the last decade, all right, we cool on you.
I think Aaron Rodgers wants to get out of Green Bay because I think he's looking at his post-career life. I think Aaron Rodgers, you're already starting to hear the things. He wants to host Jeopardy. He's dating a Hollywood actress. Like, I feel like he's starting to line up his post-career life, and he's looking at it like, yo, I ain't gonna fucking host Jeopardy or do the shit that I want to do living in fucking Green Bay, Wisconsin. Like, but my thing is just say that. To sit here and say, oh, the line sucks or the receivers aren't that good or I don't like the GM. Like, what? Like, you're 26-5 in 2 years and you've gotten the two straight AFC championship games. Like, again, what is the issue? And he's not even, and that's the thing. He's not even saying what's the issue. What is the issue? The issue is what? Jordan Love being drafted? Like, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're sweating Jordan Love? Jordan Love?
It ain't about Jordan Love.
He said the GM. He didn't like the GM.
It ain't about Jordan Love.
The rumor is that he don't like the GM.
I think it is. That's what it is. I think the Jordan Love thing was a slap in the face because they didn't get him help. They got his replacement instead of getting him help.
Exactly.
And it's been rumored for years. You know, they always draft the defense first. And it was always like they were, instead of taking his opinion and taking, like, what do you think we need to help you to take that next level? They would do other things every single time as if to say, you're not in charge, we are. And that's what I thought it was. And that's how I felt about it. And that's probably, to me, that's what I felt like his issue was.
So Aaron Rodgers needs to be picking players now too.
I mean, he needs his input. You saw what Russell Williams said. I mean, Russell Wilson said. Russell Wilson said that, you know, he should have some input in player decisions. And
there's input and then there's picking players.
Yeah.
Like, we can sit down and be like, yo, I really like this dude. Or you see the highlight of this cat? Like, I think this is somebody we should, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, yeah, of course, every great player should have some. Like, I agree. I think there should be some collaboration. Like, you got one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks on your roster. Like, yeah, I'm going to ask him what you think of this wide receiver, what you think of this lineman, what you think of this running back. Hell, what you think of this defensive back? Like, anything. Yeah, of course. That's input. You know what I'm saying? I feel like these guys want to, like, oh, yeah, draft my man so-and-so from Clemson. He good. Like, what?
You don't get paid
to do that job.
I don't even think they gave him input. I don't think they even considered asking him any of the times because he's always been disappointed in these picks. And
so it's just the roster construction then. So he don't like the GM because of the roster construction.
I would think so. I would think. I mean, I'm not saying that's the only reason, but I know that would be a reason. It seems like they kind of go at it. And
so then why did you resign there 2-3 years ago?
You take the money. What do you ever
say? What you mean? Again, what is okay? So you take the money, even though you can't stand it there. You don't arguably debatable. You don't like LaFleur. You don't like the GM. Why are you re-signing? Aaron Rodgers could go anywhere, literally anywhere. Any team would make room for Aaron Rodgers. Any team would give Aaron Rodgers $40 million.
You take the money. Just because you take the money don't mean the GM don't have to do his job. That's my whole point.
Okay, but if you're that miserable and this has been an issue. This has been an ongoing discussion in Green Bay for years. This didn't just start last week. Like this has been this has been brewing for years. So again, you just re-signed a contract 2.5-3 years ago. So there wasn't problems when you re-signed the contract. So you liked the GM when you was signing the contract. But now 3 years after the fact, now you don't like the GM. That's what I'm confused at.
I think he actually loves the franchise. He just don't really like the GM.
That's what I think.
The GM is fucking up his career to the point where he's like, look,
fucking up his career. Again, y'all are acting like this man is 7-9 and basically taking the top 10 in the draft.
We gotta move on to the NBA. But before we do that, man, let me ask you one question. Has the Green Bay Packers done everything they can to help Aaron Rodgers win?
No.
What's everything they can? What is everything?
Have they made moves like free agent moves, draft moves?
Green Bay has never been
to increase the star power or the caliber of the roster. Have they done everything they can in that aspect?
Probably not.
Like you said, they have legit one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. Yet they will not do that. Those things. They will not move heaven.
The free agency stuff is a little overblown because Green Bay has never been a free agency destination anyway. The only person I can remember is maybe Woodson and Wayne and Reggie White signing free agent deals to go to Green Bay. And outside of that, I don't remember.
I'll tell you this, Manny. Cleveland ain't no damn destination either. But the GM for the Browns, they got Odell Beckham. They made some moves happen.
Be a trade. That's
making a move. They gave up some draft capital to get Odell. I have not seen.
And what has Cleveland done with Odell? What has Cleveland done with Odell on the roster?
Let's not act like Baker is the same as Aaron Rodgers.
My question was, what has Cleveland done with Odell on the roster?
They made the playoffs.
Don't count last year because he didn't play last year.
He was on the roster, three or four games.
That's not what you said. You asked when they was on the roster. He was on the roster last year.
Odell Beckham has been healthy and playing. What has Cleveland done? Outside of making the playoffs last year.
We have not seen Odell healthy for a full season just yet. So we don't know. We can see that this season.
But that's not the point. The point is that they went out and made a move to acquire superstar talent. You're talking about the results of that acquisition. But what I hear Nick saying is that they at least attempted and went out and made an acquisition.
But y'all are not telling me what else does this man need? Again, like they were 26-5 in 2 years and got to two straight AFC championships
of Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, but you can say that about any great quarterback. It's always going to be off the back of a great quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers ain't no any great quarterback, Manny. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks.
Give me a player or a move. Okay, Ken. I'm willing to meet you there. Give me a move that the Packers make in the last 2 years that helps them beat San Francisco or Tampa.
I can't tell you that because they haven't.
I can get. How about a legit number two receiver? How about some
who's that guy? That's Robert Woods.
Like if you look at
Brandon
the Bucks,
Crooks,
right, who do they got? Who they got? They got
Chris Mike Godwin Evans
and Chris Godwin.
And
give
they
Rodgers
got,
somebody. Give Rodgers a legit threat opposite of Devontae Adams.
At least AB. Go get AB was out there for a whole offseason. The Bucks He's just resigned him because like
was
shit.
Not gonna go out there and get that damn psychopath. You know damn well Green Bay was not going to go get that psychopath.
He was out.
You know that. So it's not even worth discussing that because you know
Green Bay was he'd have got frostbite.
Facts.
He played in Pittsburgh.
And he would have been ashy.
I'm not saying, again, I know we got to move on. I'll close with this. I'm not saying y'all are wrong. I am not saying that Green Bay is basically rolled out there the 67 Packers. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, but it's going to the extreme on the other end, like acting like Aaron Rodgers is basically playing out there with the 2020 Jets. Like it's not like the dude has talent. Okay. We could argue he needs a better number two receiver, or we could argue that he probably needs another corner or two. We could argue those things. Yes. There needs to be improvements, but to sit here and say, oh yeah, that team is trash. They went 7-9. They barely were afloat even with Aaron Rodgers. Like, oh, he needs to get out of there so he can save his career. What?
I'm going to let you know this right now, Manny. That team to me is like, remember when LeBron, before he left for Miami, they won like 60 something games. And then afterwards, they were the first overall pick. That's what's going to happen if they start Jordan Love and they let Aaron Rodgers go. Yep. It's going to be the same shit.
And that's because I think Jordan Love is not that good.
So you think he's not?
I don't think he's that good. No,
I don't either. But
this isn't a discussion about Jordan Love's talent. Like, yes, I get drafting Jordan Love to replace him eventually down the line. Yeah, I could see that pissing off Rodgers as far as his ego, especially if he's like, yo, we could have used another pick. I don't mind that. I'm just saying that this idea that like, yo, he's got nothing to work with in Green Bay. And again, my argument for that is the AFC Championship game last year. He didn't play well, especially in the second half. He didn't play well. If he plays even average, they win that game. Do you guys agree or not?
That's just a bad argument.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That was a bad argument. The argument is he doesn't have talent to win a championship. He didn't play well in the championship game. If had he played even average, they would have gotten to a championship game. They would have gotten to a Super Bowl.
My thing is about his context with that seed. Like, granted, I agree with you. He did not play well in that game. However, they are not sniffing the playoffs without that man. I'm not even talking about the talent level of Jordan Love. I'm just saying Aaron Rodgers is that so above pretty much outside of one other quarterback as far as talent and competency that Jordan Love is below here. Like, he's at the fucking floor. So there's no reason for me
to... But that's not what we're discussing. That's not... You're arguing two different things.
And you're in Green Bay. You see what the fuck Jordan Love doing. And you're probably looking at everybody that could have been picked after Jordan Love that could have helped you that in a way that Jordan Love hasn't helped. Then you're looking at it, they'd be like, this is some bullshit.
And they traded up to get him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So come on, man. That's just...
But we have three different arguments, though. That's what I want y'all
to understand. No, my argument is this. Aaron Rodgers should ask to get off of Green Bay or should try to force his way out because Green Bay has shown that Aaron Rodgers is not a priority to them.
So where is he going to go? That's going to give
him... And it's crazy that they have shown him that because without him, they would have not seen as much success as they have already. And granted, we've been nitpicking at him as far as his resume since that 2010 season or that Super Bowl season. However, he's still one of the top five greatest quarterbacks of all time. And on top of that,
facts,
you just don't treat your franchise quarterback like that, especially if he's done nothing but push you to greatness, or at least try to. Granted, again, he had a bad AFC title game. However, there's a lot of
the irony in all of this is that he's literally mad about the same thing that he did 13 years prior to Brett Favre. That's just the irony.
You lose him how you got him. It's the same way.
Yeah.
We got a super chat from Woo Young. I don't understand it, though. Appreciate you, Woo, anyway. The Pats team that beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl was the number one defense in the NFL. Maybe it was something we were talking about at the time. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that Pats team without Tom Brady, what was that, Pat? So Nick's point was Aaron Rodgers. The success of the Packers is on the back of Aaron Rodgers was just like, yeah, of course, duh. That's like saying the success of the 49ers in the 80s was off the back of Jerry Rice and Joe Montana. Like, of course, that's why they are those guys. So what I said was that Pats team that beat the Falcons that came back from the 28-3, sorry, Kyle, that team, like outside of Brady and maybe Edelman, like what was that team? Nothing. That team was a nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to the NBA since we got Manny here. Of course, we got to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, specifically with LeBron James and his recent comments. Speaking of backtracking, his recent comments on the play-in tournament are pretty interesting. All right, go ahead, put your hat on, your safety hat on, because we're going to ask you some hard-hitting questions. Does it make sense for LeBron to have an issue with the play-in tournament, even though he asked for it last year?
I mean, LeBron talking out of both sides of his mouth isn't exactly a surprise, but
damn.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron talks out of both sides of his mouth when it comes to this stuff anyway. So I don't know why anybody acts surprised. Like, what do you expect them to say? Like, I don't understand what his big issue is now with it. Like, especially if you advocated for it last year, I guess his issue for it now is that the Lakers might find themselves in a position where they have to be in a play-in game. So he's not happy about it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of false and disingenuous on LeBron's part, but it is what it is. What do you want me to say? LeBron's points are valid. I don't like the playing game. To me, it just kind of rewards mediocrity. I just don't really like the playing game. Like, to me, it's a bandage on a situation that's affecting the NBA. Like, I don't know what the playing tournament or game or whatever, what that necessarily does. To me, it should be 1-16, but that's another argument for another day. Having a playing game where the Kings and the Warriors are battling out to see who gets slaughtered by Phoenix is not appealing to me. So I just don't understand what the point of the playing game, but that's another argument for another day. So as LeBron's comments, man, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. So you should kill him for that because he's being phony about it.
Somebody should have been like, hey man, but you don't remember what you said last year.
Exactly. Yeah.
He
even said that. Now that I think about it, you're right. Because I forgot he said that.
The only reason I would say no, he shouldn't be killed for it is because last year he met in the bubble. I think that he when he said it last year, it was a different circumstance. You know, I saw where the, like the games were uneven and something like that last year. And the bubble made sense to have a play in because, you know, it kind of gave everybody a shot because you didn't have an even number of games going into it. So it kind of made sense to do it that way. This year, I don't know if he said it this year, what he said about it. I hadn't heard him say anything about it until now. But I'm sure him, like you and Ken and others in this chat, who I tried to tell y'all these boys were going to be in this bubble. And they were, I mean, in this play in. And y'all
he didn't had a list. He had a Shelton had a Shelton. Shelton, we seen that. I knew you had that post in your draft inbox ready to say it on Dead End Sports Reddit thread. Talk about some. I told y'all niggas that you was sat back. You came on here last week talking about some shit. You know what I'm saying? I was just predicting
shit. What did you say, Shelton? The Lakers, this team, the squad without their main contributors were not good enough. And they were going to be in the play-in. You adamantly, along with Manny, denied the fact that they were going to be in the play-in.
They're still technically not in the play-in game, though.
They're not. No, they're not yet. Manny, but you're acting like it's not a possibility. Y'all told me it wasn't even a chance.
Okay. Right. Without their main guys, right?
LeBron is out.
That was the discussion, right?
Yeah, LeBron is out.
Agreed. All right, LeBron and AD. And what Manny and I said was all they had to do was tread water, correct?
Yeah.
How many games have they lost? They lost 6 of 8, right? Mm-hmm. They lost 4 with AD, and they turned around and lost 2 with LeBron. Maybe I'm wrong, but that means their guys came back. So they started losing games with their guys back. Can they hold the line until they
you said
back? Not your what happens were, after they come back.
Your That's words were there was see your words were there was no chance for them to be there. And LeBron has been out. LeBron played those 2 games. He set out the second half of that other game. AD is clearly not back. But we're where I told you they would be. I told you we were going to be in this position.
You said that without their main guys. You just repeated what you said, bro.
I said that it was going to be. I said no. What I said was they're not going to be good enough. These guys aren't good enough to do it without those guys being at full strength. I said that they were going to be
but they were in this good position.
And my point was the Lakers just had to tread water until LeBron and AD got back, and they would avoid that playing game situation. And so far, they've still avoided that because right now they're still the 50, barely hanging on by a thread. But
they're the 60.
They're the 50. Technically, they're the 50 still.
They're losing the games with LeBron and AD back.
They're the 60 right now.
That wasn't even – correct me if I'm wrong. I just asked him what he said, and he just said it.
He did.
And now he's trying to switch it up again. You always do this, Shelton.
Listen. You said that there was no chance they would be in this position. That's what you said.
That was within the context of the conversation of them without their guys.
I said they're going to be in the play-in. That's what I said.
You said without LeBron, they're not. You know what? I can't do it. I can't.
We're gonna go back and watch it. Because I said they're gonna be in the play-in. Y'all said there's no
Sheldon, you said they was gonna be in the play-in regardless. Regardless if if they were gonna be healthy or hurt.
I said that they're not gonna be. You know, their thing was they needed to tread water. That's what they were trying to say. But there's no chance for them to be in the play-in. All they have to do is tread water and they won't be in the play-in. I said no. I said these guys aren't strong enough. They're going to be in the play-in. That's what I said. I still stand by that. I still think they're going to be in the play-in.
What's the point?
You said there's no chance for them to be in.
I'm so confused right now.
What part?
Man, what part? The part that I think Ken is saying is that him and Manny, I believe, were on the point of if LeBron and AD are hurt, I think they can possibly tread water until they get back. However, once they get back, that's a whole different conversation because now you're just talking about the Lakers and their forecast and their future schedule.
When they were out
and hurt, they were like, the schedule was kind of decent enough. They could still be 500 and avoid that.
Manny,
they were saying that if they were 500.
He went back and forth with Shelton more than I did. Mm-hmm. And he started even pointing out winnable games that they could win. Now,
once again, Once again.
There's no once again.
Yeah.
And they're the five seed. They're a half game up on the Mavericks.
The fact remains that they are in a fight to stay out of the play. And like I told you, they would be. I told you where they would be. You didn't want to listen.
No, Selkie. No, you're lying.
You did not want to listen about that either. You were wrong.
No, you're leaving out key context of you trying to be right.
What part? What part? Are they not going to? They are not.
If the season ends today, they're not going to be in the playing game.
Are they not one game out of the play-in? Out of the three teams, which has the hardest schedule?
At the end of the day,
LeBron go down again.
LeBron, the games they are losing are with LeBron and AD back. The supporting cast did their jobs for 20 games to keep them afloat in the playoffs. These are just
If you keep them afloat in the playoffs, you said keep them out of the play-in. I said they were going to be in the play-in.
But
They did their job. They lost four of those games when AD came back, and then they lost two when LeBron was – when they were fully –
It don't matter.
And one of them, AD only played like 20 minutes, so you can't even really count that game.
Correct. They're in the play-in. That's what I said. Thank you. Thank you, man. That was my point.
But, no, they're not in the
play-in. Eight games they lost when their guys came back.
They're one game
ahead of Portland. You sound absolutely crazy right now.
They're one game ahead of Portland in the play-in. You said there was no chance. You're making even more of an argument for me.
And I was absolutely correct.
Because
these guys are back and they're losing. And I was absolutely correct.
You said that they would not be in the play-in. You said they wouldn't be in the play-in.
Because that conversation, you're not changing this. That conversation was about what they could do without LeBron and AD. Was it or was it not? Was it or was it not?
The chat said the same thing. They said they wouldn't be in the play-in. I told you they would, and here we are.
The Lakers'
remaining schedule, just if you're curious, the Clippers, Trailblazers, Suns, Knicks, Rockets, Pacers, Pelicans.
And LeBron's going to miss two more games.
He's out to the weekend.
Yeah, he's out until Friday. But what they do right now and don't mean shit.
Schroeder's out for, 2 weeks? I think he got COVID, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is, basically the point I'm trying to make is that a lot of people in this chat, who wrong as hell, just like y'all, said that they weren't going to be in the play, and they had
He's basking in all this.
We are.
There's nothing to bask in, man.
Y'all are wrong, like
there's
always.
There's legit nothing to bask in here.
You're right. I agree. They're still not in the playing game.
Manny, even if they fall in the play-in, they fell with LeBron and AD back. That video, that whole conversation had nothing to do with what they do with LeBron and AD coming back.
Man, listen. They're going to be in the play-in.
You know he's wrong.
Just keep watching.
He's wrong here.
Well, first off, they came back before the play-ins even started. So how could I have said that they're going to be in the play-in because of them. Regardless, they're going to be in the play-in.
That's a lot of words.
He's basically saying that he was going to be right regardless if they was hurt or healthy.
Right.
They was going to be in the play-in.
They'd be in the play-in. Y'all said there was no chance they would fall that far. That's what you said.
We just said, said it multiple times, even while they were out, that they, like, I remember even coming back on the program, it's like, hey, man, they treading water. They're hanging in there.
They did say that.
They're hanging in there. They just got to hold on until LeBron and AD came back. LeBron and AD came back, and they just started fucking up. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to tell you why. Because that Lakers team thought that once LeBron and AD came back, that they were just going to hop on their back and carry them along the way. They were like, hey, we've done our job. AD, you back? Carry us to the promised land. Oh, shit. LeBron back, too? Carry us to the promised land.
Right.
And that's what happened. And that's why they played a little bit more spirited last night. They had a little bit more energy. Caruso, I like Caruso, but Lord knows. My God. He should not be playing over THT. Did you watch that game last night, Manny?
I did.
Did you see how they fell apart when Caruso came back in the game
Yeah. I agree. I think THT should be playing over Caruso, especially while LeBron is out or you're still having this shuffling of the lineups or whatever, because I think THT gives you a little bit more consistency. and a little bit more playmaking abilities than Caruso. Caruso's defense is top notch, and his effort and energy and all that. But yeah, I know, I agree with you. I think THT. No, I saw that game. I was in and out of that game, but I saw the fourth quarter. I agree with you. Yeah.
I watched Caruso. The second half, and they went on a little run, and THT was balling. Look, man.
I fuck with him.
Yeah, THT. I think both of them are useful pieces on a championship team. I think both of them bring something to the team. My thing with the Lakers, man, I just think that. I think even myself, I'm a victim of this. I think we all just expect that AD was going to come back and that's it. He's ready to go. I think he still needs to work his way back from a conditioning standpoint, work his way back into playing. I thought he looked better last. I thought last night was probably the best he's looked physically since he's been back. And even LeBron, I hope LeBron didn't rush back. Like, I hope he just didn't.
I think he did.
You know, maybe he probably should have just stayed out to the end of the regular season. And I kind of have a suspicion he's probably going to stay out for the rest of the regular season. Maybe he might come back like the last two or three games, maybe. But at this point, man, the Lakers, like I said it back, 20 games ago or whatever, whenever that was, last month sometime or in February. The Lakers need LeBron and AD healthy and ready to go for the playoffs. I don't care what they do these next eight games. Like, it doesn't matter to me. They just need these dudes healthy and ready to go for the playoffs, whether they're the fifth seed, whether they're the damn seventh, eighth seed, Shelton, wherever they are in the standings, they need these guys right. So, I hope that LeBron takes these two games and gets himself right. I hope he didn't rush back. You're getting conflicting reports as far as, like, they're saying there's no injury issue. It was just general soreness, so they just want him to take his time back. Who knows? They just need those two guys. Hell, not even 100%, because I don't think they're going to be 100%, but at least 80%, 80-85%.
Yeah, LeBron's
still more afraid of AD's injury, though, because he keeps having to stretch that leg on the sideline. He's getting a lot more attention from the training staff than normal. And that's still scary, because I still think back to how, you know, Kevin Durant's injury, when it came about, that's a scary thought. So watching him stretch on the sidelines, that's not a good look, and I hate that. At this time, because this should be the most exciting time of the year when you're getting the best basketball. I wanted to see a healthy Golden State team, these Utah and the Phoenix Suns playing at top level with the youth and talent that they have, a strong, full-fledged Laker team. You know, you got the Clippers coming back doing what they do. All these teams got stronger and better. I was looking forward to just this huge playoff, you know, where every team was competitive. That was what I was hoping for, but it's not looking good right now. We got two super chats too. One from We Them Boys. Appreciate you. He said, Bron has excuses. I will never be 100% ever again.
Yeah, he said that.
That is what he said. And yeah,
is it an excuse or is it a fact?
Nigga, you ain't gotta say
that. You'll never be 100% again. Like, you played 20 damn seasons in the NBA. Like, I don't think you'll ever be
set up. Like, if he wins the title, people can pull that out and, you know, be like, oh.
Hey, sure. Yeah, people can use that. The LeBron sycophants out there will use that. See, he said he was at 100% and he still won. Yeah, of course.
We all know that.
Do I think he did that for that reason? No, I think he was just in a moment. Nah. In the moment, honestly, I think he just said, like, yo, I don't think I'll ever be 100%.
LeBron be fooling y'all, man.
That
man is the greatest of all time at controlling the narrative.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a professional athlete since day one, since he was 15 years old, that man, I can't knock that. That's one of the things I respect about him. Yeah. He ain't going to let you tell no story about him.
He got his own damn media company, so that should tell.
Hey, he the reason why he got that tub of lard on ESPN on the jump. What's that white man's name? his high school and shit. That was coming. He got his fat ass on ESPN, man. Just to control his narrative.
Yep. Come on, man. Propaganda, man.
We got another super chat too from Tigolo. Tigolo, what's up? Where the chump FIFO at? Man, FIFO is always on some island somewhere.
Island as far as his room.
I need FIFO's job, man. Shit, FIFO, hook it up.
Yeah, FIFO on the world too.
FIFO chilling.
Could it be labeled as an excuse? Yeah, I'll be consistent with that. Yeah.
So I want to shout out Q because he is right. I mean, we all have said this multiple times. I mean, in the playoffs, AD has shown a different side, but you know, he was a little bit soft when he came back. And
to this year?
Huh?
Nah, he keeps talking about his whole career, but
he's
yeah,
talking about his whole career, but you know, it kind of highlighted when he was talking about getting his wind and stuff like that. It's like, bro, you kind of making excuses, like, you know, get your stuff together. So he and I said all that to say that he did look a little bit better, you know, a little bit more energetic last night. But you know, it's just like those four games, you can't make excuses because you came back and you basically let this team lose four in a row on your watch. Like, like one, I'll give you three of those. Come on, bro. Like, that's why LeBron had to come back. He was like, man, what the fuck are you doing? Like, but yeah.
And what are y'all, let me ask y'all a question too about the mm-hmm. Lakers. What do y'all think about Drummond's play? They talking about it in chat too. And I'm going to ask y'all that too. What do you think of Drummond's play so far as a Laker?
Irrelevant into the playoffs.
Well, Gasol was a better matchup last night and mm-hmm. worked because Gasol mm-hmm. was, I mean, Jokic was just killing fucking Drummond, but he's never been that much of a defender. Yeah. I think he's going to be just the more talented Dwight Howard, JaVale yeah. McGee guy that, that they can use in certain situations against Jokic, guys like that, which is not a lot. That's when you'll get the big white guy, you know, and handle and use him.
If he going against like the Blazers, yeah, he'll definitely eat on that.
Yeah, Drummond. I still like Drummond. I think he's gonna fit in well. That's why I think that they do need to play, and I think that's why you know a series would be beneficial to the Lakers more than whatever these two games is. I actually didn't even know the playoff playing games were. What seeds were they? I thought they were
7-10.
I thought they were like 9-10 or something.
Nah,
like
7-10. I think like
7-10.
The 7th and 8th seed play and the 9th and 10th seed play. Some goofy shit where like if the 8th seed wins and they get something like
that. Yeah, I thought it was
goofy shit. You said it best.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't mind if it had been just 8th and 9th playing for the last spot. To me, that would have made more sense.
I don't think there should be a playing game. You got 82 games.
I do.
I like it.
I like the playing game. It's just gonna take me some use to, like, I gotta get used to it because, like,
I don't like that shit.
They're trying to avoid tanking pretty much. Like, if you are at least the 10th best team in your conference, you got a chance to be in the playoffs. That gives a team a lot of boost to be like, all right, let's get
it's
this.
Working.
No, look,
like, if you look at those teams in those 9th and 10th spots, well, these games matter to them and they are fighting. Look at the Warriors, at New Orleans.
And we dragging the fuck out of this regular season and it was cut short by 10 games.
And we still like, all right, we over.
Yeah, we over the fuck. Like, just give us playoff basketball, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, after the All-Star break, really give us a month of regular season and just get right to the playoffs. Most of those teams are already locked up anyway.
So but Milwaukee beat Brooklyn again.
That's what I was gonna say. They beat them again.
Hey, motherfucker, Giannis hit about what, 4 threes?
I mean, you know, he had a hot game.
I don't hear about that shit. Giannis hits about 4 threes every 3 years, and then he's back to the postseason, Giannis.
without James Harden playing, though, to me, it's still, you know, it still ain't getting the full effect of what would happen with a healthy James Harden.
Can we talk about how KD dropped the 40 burger, though?
Man, KD is so
good. KD did that type of nigga was like, nigga, are you really hurt? Or are you playing? Because this motherfucker,
he didn't even look concerned Sunday.
KD.
Like, he just was like, okay, he just went in, hit a couple shots. And then, like, even on the one that he missed, even on another one that he missed, he just looking around like it's just a game to him.
He was 5-7 with 40 points. This nigga is the most efficient, bro. This motherfucker is just.
Yeah.
He's an alien. He literally is an alien, man. Like, it's just not even. I mean, what can you say about it? Like, what is
it? And it's just all net, too. It's just.
And then beautiful. You add Kyrie to him. It's just like.
Kyrie.
Hey, that's shake and bake right there. That's they nickname.
Is Ramadan over for him? Is it done?
Ramadan ain't over till you got to wait till the 12th. That's Ramadan over.
Kyrie's still impressed. He never ceases to amaze. That dude do some crazy stuff.
What'd you say, Sheldon?
I said Kyrie never ceases to amaze. He's always doing something. Like, you can't, ain't nothing you can do with him. There's just literally nothing you can do with Kyrie.
Yeah, but I don't know. But yeah, I'm, you know, if those were good wins, I think, in terms of positioning. But yeah, without James Harden, it's hard to really kind of evaluate
and
that team.
I hope Philly secures that number one seed and the Knicks get the number four so we don't have to see Brooklyn in the second round, because I'd much rather face Philly than Brooklyn. I don't give a damn.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Nick. Speaking of the Knicks, this is a real question I thought about because I was looking at it. Do you really think that it's fool's gold, or do you think that they are a legit threat going forward based off the team's how it's constructed now?
I think they are. It's hard to say because this is just legit year one of the Tibbs era. So we don't know what year. Like, if this was year two, I would say they look fully legit. I want to say they're fully legit, but that's, I don't know if that's still more of the fan in me. But I will say that I have not seen us this stable in a long time. Like, I know we had some good runs with the Melo years, but that always felt like it's all right. Whenever Melo gets older, it's a wrap. We have a young team. We're seeing like we focused. Shout out to the front office. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have legit built a nice core around Julius Randle. We're building up RJ Barrett. I will say that I'll go on a limb and say I think they are legit contenders. I think this offseason is going to be big for them. But as a Knicks fan still, it's like, I don't know. This rug could be pulled under me as well. But I do see something I haven't seen in a while.
I'm happy to see Derrick Rose playing so good.
Man, he was.
He's been balling. I think he's averaged at least like 20 points the last 5-6 games.
He still got it, man.
In Spurs, he really does.
In Spurs, he still got it, man.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think it's legit. I think it's legit. I talked about it on AGS this past weekend. I think it's legit. I mean, I don't think they're winning a championship, you know, this season or anything like that. But I think you're starting to see now like a resurgence. They're building something. They kind of remind me of the Nets pre-KD. Remember that year with D'Angelo and Spencer Dinwiddie? Those young guys finally kind of arrived and were taking that next step. This is what it kind of reminds me. I just hope I'm a New Yorker, so I'm always like I have my whole family is fucking Knicks fan, so I'm around them all the time. I just hope for the Knicks' sake, man. I just don't rush the process, man. Don't do no goofy shit like try to trade 6 first round picks to go get Karl Anthony Towns or some dumb shit like that.
Nah, we gonna mortgage the future for my nigga Lillard and maybe Zion down the line.
I asked you that for that reason too, because in the chat you were saying they shouldn't get rid of nobody for Lillard. Like, who did you say?
No, I said 3 players. All I care about is IQ, Julius, and RJ. Everybody else can go.
See, to me, everybody can go except for Julius. Like, even IQ, even RJ for Dame
young
Lillard.
Talent. You need young talent. You gotta have
Dame,
young talent.
For Dame,
what the hell is Dame gonna do? With
and
nobody
Dame Lillard, and Dame Lillard and Julius Randle's winning you a championship.
Replicate Portland.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is keeping those guys over Dame, it don't make sense to me. Like, I don't think nothing's
you need depth. Even Q even said, like, yeah, that's a good trade, but I still would need 3 3-and-D guys. I would still probably need another star. Like, you still gotta have
you still need the pieces because Dame Lillard and Julius Randle alone, that's not Shelton, getting it done.
In the same fucking city. We got to face Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. I'm saying that against with just Dame and Julius.
Correct. But what I'm saying is if you're saying keep those guys and adding a Dame, yes, that makes sense. But if you're saying I stand pat with what I got and think I'm going to win more than bringing in Dame, you can't. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to bring, you still would need to bring in another, to bring in a player like Dame, to me, anybody can go.
To me, as long as we don't mess up again.
I don't think Dame coming, by the way, but that's just me.
Yeah, but that was my thing. The only reason I thought about that was I was trying to think, even watching the box scores and watching them play, they play great basketball. And I love watching the way they play right now. But I'm thinking, like, you know, if something does happen to Randle or if he's off, who's going to step into that role right now? Is it RJ? Because I don't trust
RJ. I think RJ is developing into that.
Yeah, he is.
I don't trust him enough.
Is he there yet, though?
Not yet.
He's not yet.
He's going to be nice, though.
What school he went
to? What school he went to?
I forgot. But if he keep progressing, it was blue and white. I think it was Kentucky, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of them.
Nah, I went Kentucky.
If he keeps progressing like he is, again, just like Julius Randle, every year, get better at something.
Yeah.
You're going to get there. Like, he already averaging borderline 20 points right now. he gets to like over 22, 23.
He fills out the stats, the
box score too. He's an underrated passer. He can get boards. Like, come on. Like, I think that kid, especially with
he's Tiggs, scratching the surface, of what it would be.
Man.
You know, I'd argue he's still not even there yet, like as far as a player, because I think he's still got another level to go.
He can still get his handles better.
Yeah,
he can still
get more consistent with his jump shot. Like, the sky's the limit for RJ, man. I just, again, with the Knicks, I just want them to make sensible, smart moves. I don't want them to mortgage the future, like trading quickly and a whole bunch of these pieces that you've worked hard to acquire to
go out and get
a superstar. And even that may not even be enough to go get you where you need to be. To me, you build a team, you know, you may, and it may take 2 or 3 years to just continuously build a team. Plus, I don't see a situation like the Nets had where, you know, you're going to have KD and Kyrie as free agents in the same offseason. So I don't see that. I don't see that next crop of like, free agents coming where they're going to be there to play for the Knicks. At least right now, I can't tell. Maybe Dame Lillard, if he forces his way out of Portland, which I don't see. I think they'll get rid of Terry Stotts before Dame Lillard leaves. So I don't see that part. I mean, the name you constantly keep hearing around Knicks circles is Karl Anthony Towns, but
I think Karl Anthony
Towns is overrated. My own personal opinion. Yeah, he's overrated. He the Puerto Rican Kevin Love.
Oh, my God.
Hell no. Speaking of Kevin Love, man, why isn't the media being critical on that nigga?
Because he white.
Mm. Damn, for once, I ain't have to say it.
I mean, like, you just, some things are just left unsaid. Like, you don't even have to say it. It's understood already. Like, because he's white. If LeBron would have did that, if Russell Westbrook, and y'all know I have my issues with Westbrook. If Russell Westbrook would have done that shit, they would have castrated that man. That man would have been hung the next day. But
in the same situation.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, where nobody cared.
See, that was really smart of him to kind of get out in front of his horrible play by saying, you know, the mental health thing. That kind of, along with the fact that he's white, that saved him.
Which is a fucking insult, by the way. Because now he's using mental health, which is a serious fucking thing, to cover for the fact that he did a shitty ass move, and every fucking player on that roster should two-piece that nigga. Like that's fucked up. Like, you don't care, and you don't wanna be here, and that's fine. But just own it. My thing is like, yo, just own it. Yo, I don't wanna be here. I'm tired of being here. Like, we're long removed from the days of LeBron and whatever, and Kyrie. I don't want to be here. Just trade me, be done. Whatever.
When you guys say mental health, are you talking about when he said that stuff like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So he didn't say it after he did the whole thing.
Oh, he didn't say it after that? I thought that's what he said. No.
He's one of those like pillars that say, like, him, DeMar DeRozan, I believe, are one of those guys. Like, they came out early and like, look, I'll be dealing with some issues and shit. Please understand my situation.
Right.
And respect it. Ever since then, that's when the NBA started talking about it. More and more athletes are coming out and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, that's the guys that he has. Like, so if you come at Kevin Love critically, some people might say, well, hold on, bro. He
you're attacking,
he may
be
going through
something.
It's
like Paul George. It's like Paul George. Remember when Paul George tried to flip the script?
Exactly.
Like, don't attack me because I was lonely in the bubble.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Well, he's lonely for wins right now. That's what he is. Like, you know, they left him. You know? Nah, man, that was bullshit. I get that because the mental health shit ain't got shit to do with what he did.
No. Yeah, he threw a temper tantrum. That was it.
That's it. Yep. So he don't get a pass for that. And I do agree with you because it's Minnesota. I mean, Cleveland, they like, man, we don't give a fuck about that.
I think it was a close possession, but that game ain't gonna change.
What are you telling every Cavs fan by that? Like, what are you telling Cavs fans that are still paying their hard earned money? That are still, you know, watching and supporting this team or whatever. What are you telling them?
Actually a good point, and I didn't look at it, and I'll probably have to go look. But how critical was the media in Cleveland or people that covered the team? If they gave Kevin Love a pass for that, then they need to look themselves in the mirror. But if they were critical of him, because if anybody should be critical, it should be the local media.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody in the chat, whatever. Anybody listening that's from Cleveland, let us know because I don't know. Like, I don't know how critical they were. I know nationally, I didn't really see much critical I saw like a couple
not, nobody gives a fuck about them and they're not winning, so it's not enough to kind of move the needle like that. But local media, like, that's their job. Your job
and
is to lay
and it's Kevin Love. He's not considered, like, at least not at this point anymore. He's not considered a superstar like a Dame or a LeBron or somebody like that. So I feel like with him, it's probably different. He's just he's a disgruntled employee.
Yeah, at this stage, he's
the ones that shoot up the spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible, man. That was a bad look, man. Again, I feel, you know, if I'm a Cavs fan, I'm pissed off. Like, yo, really? Like, the dude that's making $20, $30 million, who's stealing money, by the way, stealing money. Like,
hey, he lead the league in steals, Manny. He lead the league in steals.
Man.
Speaking of his college teammate, Russell Westbrook, why, Manny, why your boy Scotty Brooks come out talking about some he the second best point guard of all time? Yeah, Scotty,
I want to know how much the Westbrook family paid him to say that shit. Like, geez.
Man, you know.
We got a kickback on that one. Jordan must have a Jordan check coming in the mail.
Hey, shit. Man. I ain't gonna say he's the second greatest of all time. All
right, look at him. What you about to say?
Here comes Shelton with the cap.
I'm just gonna say, man, that man deserves his flowers this year. Because he playing ball, man, and he's consistently been doing it. And he brought that team out.
Deserving flowers and saying you're the second greatest point guard of all time are two totally different things.
Well, if Draymond is the greatest defender of all time, I would argue.
Hey, Shelton, it's a difference between like getting the flowers you deserve and you buying a flower shop. And you become, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. All difference.
Right. I'm really interested in seeing what happens with the Wizards and whether or not they made the playoffs.
They making the playoffs, baby. It may not be 50 wins, but they making the playoffs.
It's hey. Long removed from that 50 win. We ain't forgetting it.
Yeah.
Hey, Manny, for every wrong, there's a right.
But that's just crazy, though, to think. And it's impressive. It should get more notoriety with how well he's playing and him filling up the stat sheet. Because somebody said it. I don't know who said it, but somebody that plays with him, I think it might have been Bradley Beal that said, I thought that he was just trying to fill up the stat sheet. But it turns out that's just really how he plays the game. So he's doing it consistently, not trying to do it, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And this guy had a game where he had 24 rebounds and 20 assists or vice versa, or something like that.
His energy is what, you know, even more so than his talent, his God-given talent, it's just his energy. Like, it's weird because the things that you love about Russell is the same things that you hate about Russell. In certain situations, because what you love about Westbrook is that no matter the game, he's a throwback in this regard. Like, no matter the game, no matter the situation, you know you're going to get he's going to play hard. He's going to give you 100%. You know, Russell Westbrook is the type of guy on a back-to-back on a February night is going to fucking ball out against the Kings or the damn Pelicans, no matter who he's playing. But in that same regard, that same thing that you love about him is the same thing that I think at times in postseason play or in big spots is what's gotten him in trouble. Where I think he just, in a way, he almost wants to win too much that he ends up fucking it up. Like, sometimes you just don't need to just attack the basket. Like, no, step back, make the right play, pass it out to somebody that can shoot. And he's just never really been able to fall back a little bit and maybe make the smart play in certain situations. But look, there's never been a debate about his talent. There's never been an argument about his talent, at least in this corner, at least in our circle. Like, there's never been a debate about his talent. Like, we know how great he is. It's just, again, you're judged on what you do in the big moments. And there's been times in his career, not every single moment, but there have been times in his career where he just hasn't delivered. And if you're going to give him the flowers for all his greatness, then you got to give him the
flowers. Like, what?
Started, I'm being fair. Like, what do you want to say? He just started shitting
on Russell Westbrook. like he played for the Washington Generals or something, not the Wizards.
I think he might as well play for the Washington Generals. Nah, but for real, like, what? But I gave this man flowers. I said the thing that you love about Russell Westbrook.
Can we just give him the flowers? He gave that nigga a rose.
All right. Never mind. The man brings it every night. Love his energy. Keep it up, Russell.
Oh, man.
Keep doing the generational wealth.
I was waiting for him to stop, and he just kept going.
I didn't say
you
that.
You kept going like Russell.
I did not say he sucks.
Let me ask you this real talk. Is Russell Westbrook a top 10 PG all time?
Yeah. I think you have to start putting him in that conversation. I mean, statistically speaking, yeah. You do. I mean, if you started, I mean, just off the top of my head, I mean, you got Magic, you got Isaiah, you got Steph, you got Oscar. No, no particular order. I'm just throwing names out there. You got Jason Kidd.
Stockton.
Stockton, of course. Yeah, Stockton.
Chris Paul.
We said Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, okay. We said Isaiah. Chris Paul. Gary Payton. Yeah. I think you absolutely have to start throwing Russell Westbrook in that discussion. For sure. He ain't the second best, but he's definitely in the discussion. In that top 10 somewhere.
I know with what limited power we have, or what power we have, not limited. Russell back, like, narrative, this negative, like, conversation that always comes up with Russell with media. That's generally started by Colin Cowherd. From people that anytime he does something, the first thing they go to is, oh, he's stat padding. And I know even some people in the NBA, like Bradley Beal, you know, kind of echo those same sentiments, you know, but if a guy that he's played with come out and be like, okay, yeah, I thought that, but it's not that, then people should listen. But more importantly, it's okay to just kind of recognize the guy for being great at what he's doing in the moment among his current peers. Not everything requires a title for validation. Russell Westbrook's sole contribution, his contribution to the NBA history, the Hall of Fame, is to just come out and just do triple-double. Sometimes that's just it. Not everybody's going to win a title. That's just not what he was put on earth to do.
Yeah.
Lillard's great, but Lillard's probably won't ever win a title. CP3, great. Yeah. He probably won't ever win a title.
Right.
I think the difference though with Russell though is I think that he, outside of having KD, he just hasn't sniffed the championship situation. I think that, and it's not his fault. It's not his fault. I'm not saying that's his fault.
Time out. Back that up. What do you mean?
Outside of having KD, when he's been his own man, he really hasn't been in any championship situation, or at least being close. It's not like Russell Westbrook lost game 7.
That's unfair. You
know, on his own to the Warriors, and he put up 50-50 and 12 or some shit like that. Like, damn, you can't even criticize him because, hey, he balled out. He just fell short. Like, man, the years he was a solo man in OKC, they didn't get out of the first round.
Man, you know those teams, though. You know basketball. You know those teams. You know those teams were not even championship.
But that's why I just said I'm saying to try to find a reason for the narrative around Russell. It's just that he hasn't been. I'm not saying I agree with this, and I'm saying that yes, it's not his fault because those teams weren't at that level. All I'm saying is that the reason that there is that discussion is because he hasn't had these moments.
But that's a silly discussion, and we need to steer people away from that because they issue those blanket statements without looking at the OKC teams minus KD. Without looking at, they're gonna look at this Wizards team. That's basically nothing, and be like, oh, but he didn't get out of the first round. Like,
right.
we have to. Go ahead, Shelton.
No, I was going to echo that sentiment. That's the fair point that you're making. The point that's right. That's the fair way to do it because this Wizard team, this is a Herculean effort on a Wizards team that we didn't expect to win 10 games. You know what I'm saying? Other than Nick, but you know, for him to be even in the playoff discussion, even with the play-in. Is incredible, and he's doing it night in and night out. He's making a difference, and he's getting better every game. So, to be honest, he's won me over. Like he really has this year.
Yeah, and guys like Stephen A. Smith, they'll be like, "Oh, we need to talk about titles." Well, how about we put him on a team that was as good as that OKC team? Yeah. Like Russell Westbrook is not the kind of guy like LeBron, shit, or even a fucking KD that's going to be able to take a team defunct of talent. To a fucking title. KD couldn't do it. Steph Curry struggling to do it. You see what I'm saying? They did it when they had guys around them.
They had to change the rules for Steph to get in the playoffs.
That same mold has to be applied to other guys as well. And Westbrook, like CP3 could be rightly criticized because he had some great fucking teams and blew it. So we can look at him and be like, yeah, bro, you had a shot.
Those Clippers
but Westbrook,
teams,
at least Westbrook has played in a final. like a lot of other these guys haven't. Lillard hasn't. But Lillard hasn't had championship contending teams.
But But then,
and my thing is, like I said, he's done something that we never thought we'd ever see in our lifetimes. We never thought. I know I didn't. I never thought I'd see someone average a triple double
four times in a row.
You know what I'm saying?
Or not like in a row, but just four times.
Right, to average a triple double, like I never.
So you guys don't think it's fair to bring up the lack of postseason success with
Russell? No, I don't think that's the end all be all for Russell.
It's not, but do you agree that it should at least be discussed?
Yes, you could discuss it, but it shouldn't be the only thing discussed. Like,
no, his
career should be known for his MVP season and the fact that he broke Oscar Robertson's record four times.
Because the way I look at it is like a QB in football that throws for 6,000 yards four straight years. But it's like, oh, your team finished 7-9 every year. So it's like,
what are you talking about? Drew Brees.
to me, this is harder.
No, but I'm saying like that would be the equivalent of that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, damn, he's statistically great. Yeah. Right on. But what's the receipt? Like, what's the product of that? It's like if you went
he did play in the NBA finals. And we know that.
But that was before he was really putting up these crazy guard stats.
We're doing a resume. Right. thing. If we're talking about his career holistically, if we're going to mention his playoff blunders, we got to also mention the playoff success as well. He was in the NBA Finals, and we know the NBA Finals, the OKC should have won that series or made it at least more competitive.
And he outplayed KD in some of those games in that final, from what I remember. He outplayed KD.
Well, I remember KD averaging like 30 something and something. Like KD balled that KD series. KD and
Westbrook was, I think, if I remember correctly, where we're getting off.
Westbrook had 35.
Harden was the fuck up. That's why he had his ass go problem. Was the fuck up.
Yeah. I think there was one team, I think that year that Utah put him out. I think that was one they could have won with Paul George.
Should have won.
Yeah.
Should have won.
But, you know, but again, a lot of people didn't even think that OKC would even. Well, no, I think when they got Paul George, they thought that we get to the playoffs.
Yeah,
the year before they got Paul George, they didn't think they were going to make.
When he won that MVP season,
the first year. Yeah, that one I don't hold that much against them. I think the year they lost to Utah, and the year they lost to Portland, the infamous Dame game or the Dame shot or whatever, those were the 2 years that you could look back and like, you could argue like that Thunder team had more talent than that Utah team. So there's no reason they should have lost that series.
Yeah.
And even the Portland series, like you could debate who had more talent, whatever. Yeah. Those are blemishes in his career. Like, I think it's fair to bring up lack of postseason success. You're right. It's not the end all be all because I mean, like if we bring up the dudes from the 90s, right? Like we bring back Patrick Ewing, like, oh yeah, Patrick Ewing never won a championship, but we never talk about how many times this motherfucker got right there and a shot. Or a block or something beat him that was totally out of his control that we don't talk about those things. We just talk about, oh, he won a championship. Like Charles Barkley, to me, Charles Barkley is the best player to never win a championship. And, you know, look at all the things that happened in Charles Barkley's career that prevented him from winning a championship. Like he literally ran up against the GOAT and it took a fucking jump shot by John Paxson to beat him. Like, who knows? John Paxson misses that, goes to game 7, history's rewritten. We'll never know, right? So I agree. I think it is unfair sometimes when we judge athletes too much by successes and failures in the postseason. But I think it's that bargain you make with the devil. You know what I mean? For as much flowers and as much greatness as you get, for all the credit that you get when things are going great, yeah. When you don't win, I think that you should get some criticism. How much of that? I don't know. What's the fine balance there? But yeah.
I just think it's incredible, man, that to average over 20 and 11 and 11, he's the only player to do it. So it's kind of like it's just remarkable to me. And as many times as he's done it, it's just mind boggling. I want to say how I agree with you,
Shelton. I think this year feels different. I have been shifted a little bit because this year does feel a little bit different. Because I was one of those that felt like it was stat padding. At least the first year in OKC, I thought that year when he was trying to win the MVP, I thought it was stat padding. But this year was different. This year, I don't know what it is about it, but this year just feels different. Maybe because I feel like he's not playing with, you know, the level of talent maybe that even those OKC teams had. I know he has Bradley Beal, so that was a little different. But I've been converted a little bit. I do think that you should still bring up the playoff failures. Like, I think that's still a valid critique. But I do agree. What you're seeing with him is impressive.
He's the number one guy that I would probably pay money to see at this point. Mm. Well, number two, obviously, you know who my number one is, but yeah, like he plays hard. Mello? He plays hard for Washington.
Yeah.
How many motherfuckers done? Gilbert didn't even do that.
John Wall didn't do this shit.
For real. And that's what I said earlier. Like the thing that you love about him is the fact that he brings it every single, like there's no load management with Russell. Like if he's not playing, it's because he's hurt. Or because, you know, they've clinched a top three seed and they're, you know, they're up by 20 fucking games or something like that.
I think Bradley Beal has missed more games than him this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like man. He plays every single night. It doesn't matter if they're coming off a back to back or they've played three straight nights. He's going to play every night. And even if he doesn't play great, you know, he's going to give you a fucking hell of an effort each and every night. And that's what you love about him.
That's all you can ask, too. So that's
in a league in an era that you don't get that every single night. Right. Kawhi Leonard.
The playoffs start, or at least the play-in tournament starts 2 weeks from today. So we're gonna definitely have to talk about the seedings and stuff like that as they should look more stand pat by next week.
No, the Lakers will not be in it.
is that your declaration, or are you just talking shit?
I'm speaking into an existence. My name. We're not gonna be in that playing.
Hey. If the
as
Knicks
much shit as I talked about that damn playing game, if the Lakers are in it, oh my God.
Hey, they might face the Warriors in that playing game.
They could lose.
And that would scare the hell out of me.
And if Steph go off on LeBron and that's how he get out the playoffs, oh man.
Can I drop a hot take?
I can't come here and talk shit.
Can I drop a hot take?
What's that? Yeah.
If the Warriors clinch the eighth seed, I got the Warriors beating the Suns in the first round.
Oh wow.
You can mark it down, write it down, take it down. Anybody chat, note it, all that. I'll take the heat.
I'm gonna let you know right now, man. They are gonna get swept.
No,
it's gonna be a 3-game sweep.
If the Warriors win the eighth seed, and it's either the Suns or the Jazz, I think the Warriors will win against the Suns or the Jazz. More so the Jazz than the Suns, but I'll pick them against both.
Definitely not the Jazz. Man, definitely not the Jazz. Especially if they help this. If Donnie Mitchell there, he damn sure ain't losing to Steph.
You're crazy.
Because he can cancel him out with
points. Don't say Steph. Don't say Steph because he's not going to cancel out Steph. He's not losing to
he's going
to
cancel out his production.
But Steph going to get his.
Warriors.
Donnie going to get his too.
Warriors in six against the Jazz Steph. Or Warriors in seven against the Suns?
They're not being the Jazz. I'll give you the Suns more than the Jazz.
Y'all can write this down. May 4th, 2021. I said it. I can tell you if I'm wrong. Hell, if Nick can say the Wizards are going to win 52 games, I can say that.
To be honest, though, Manny, I don't think the Warriors are going to get in.
Nah, they're going to get in. I looked at the standings, bro. They got like a 3-4 game head over New Orleans.
No. I mean they're not going to win the play-in game.
You don't think they're going to win the play-in game?
That's what I mean, yeah. Because who are they playing? Who is the ninth? Because they're 10th.
Looking at it right now.
No, they're 8th.
They're the eighth seed. Yeah, they're the 33-32.
So they're gonna play the seventh seed.
Well, they're only like a half game ahead of some team of Memphis, I believe. I think they're a game and a half ahead of whoever the last is, Dallas, so, maybe.
But how it currently sits, does the 17th seed play the eighth seed?
That's what I was gonna ask. So right now, if the playoffs ended today, Nick, you can answer this question. So it'd be Trailblazers, Warriors, the 7th and the 8th. And then Grizzlies, Spurs, then the 9 and the 10.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And then the winner of those two will play each other for the right to win the AC, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's complicated as fuck.
So Trailblazers, Warriors in one game to get in. Steph versus Dame.
That's the thing that the play-in tournament gives you, man. You ain't getting that. Anywhere else.
That's why it's worth it.
True. The only thing that I don't like about it is like we've talked about this many times in basketball, right? Like you just don't have those moments like you have in football where you could see the Warriors beating like the Lakers, the top seed, and then they make a run to the finals. Like it would mean more if you could really see like, yo, if the who knows, the Trailblazers get out of this playing series and they make a run to the finals. Like you're not seeing that. At least I don't. Not every year you
this,
don't see that.
Hey, I mean? This season with how many injuries have been thrown out there and how many people have switched teams, Hey, look, it's all of, I think this is the most up for grabs.
Manny, the reason why you, what you're saying though is why it's that way, because look, think about it this way. Like if it did end today, that Warriors Blazers series would be more interesting than the 8-1. So that play in is more important.
I think this year is actually the 8-1 seed is actually going to be interesting, because again, Phoenix has never been at this level. Now Phoenix is going to have some pressure that first couple games in that playoff series. Like, yo, they're going to be playing a Warriors team that's got nothing to lose. Two guys who have won championships that have been at the highest of levels. Like, I've never seen Devin Booker in a playoff game. What if they lose game one? Now they're down 0-1 in that series. Like, that's a different pressure than Phoenix is used to. Even Utah. For as great as Utah has been over the last couple of years, Utah has never been the top dog. They've always been the team trying to beat the top dog. Now they're in a situation where they're the top seed. Now all the pressure's on them. What if they lose the first game?
What if they go down
0-2 in a series?
I trust Utah way more than I trust Phoenix.
That's what I said. I trust Utah more than I trust Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because to me, Devin Booker ain't even the best player on his team. He'll even tell you that.
All right. Well, we thank you guys for...
Oh, we have one more super chat, Ken.
Okay.
Tigolo said, Marcus Smart sucks. So, hey, man, speaking of the Celtics, did y'all see that when they hit legs the other day? Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
I saw that. Stupid shit.
Are they really hurt, man? Because I saw it when it happened, but I don't...
Jaylen Brown. Yeah, he was fucked up. Yeah, Tatum was was able to walk it off, but Brown was fucked up.
Yeah, so I don't know how long they're gonna be out.
Yeah, Celtics just can't.
Shit don't matter now.
Celtics just can't get out of their own way, man.
But shout out to Tatum on that 60 piece, though.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Superstar.
Yep. Q. That was for Q.
We ain't talk about the Eastern Conference, the playing series in the Eastern Conference.
Man, ain't nobody worried about that. Damn, that's the tournament that I'm like, give a fuck about.
Oh man!
All right,
we do care because the person you said you said the one person you want to see most of all is in that play-in.
Who? Russell.
LaMelo, that's who his number. He said Russell was number two.
End it now, so Ken. End it now.
Cut his mic off.
About LaMelo.
We know LaMelo number one. Y'all better check them stats. LaMelo killed him tonight.
Outside of the Carolinas and the Ball family house, don't nobody give two shits about LaMelo right now.
Maybe Michael Carter Williams.
Listen, man, LaMelo is on SportsCenter every night making a super play.
Mello is overrated. LaMelo.
LaMelo had 23-7-6 tonight.
Nah, he ain't overrated.
That's fine.
His brother does Shelton, that shit.
But Shelton love him so much, man. Hey, man, listen.
So speaking of the ball, seriously, though, I didn't realize, I think that last week was the first time that Lonzo had 30 points in a game in his career. Did y'all know that?
I didn't care to know it, but yeah, I guess.
I'm just thinking, though, I would have thought that. Nah.
That's a fart in the wind stat to me, Shelton.
I mean, congratulations. You know,
congratulations for what? He's an NBA player.
That was the pettiest congrats ever, Ken.
I would have thought he would have done it by now. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking that was shocking.
Why would you think that?
Yeah.
He's never really. Because he's talented. He has more talent than.
It's one of those misnomers. Like, he probably had like 29. I know for a fact he had like 27 or 29 in a game before, but.
I would have thought he would have at least had one 30-point game by now. He a bust.
Listen, yeah. we ain't gonna go down that rabbit hole.
If your team trades you before year three, you a bust.
He's on the brink.
I thought he would get it. He's a bust.
And what is Markelle Fultz then?
Oh, I've been saying he was a bust.
Oh, he's a super bust.
You gotta go back to the tapes. I thought that nigga was garbage.
He's super bust to me, too.
Nah, Ball's not a bust. He's not as good as his number two selection, but he's...
That's a bust. If you ain't good as where you got drafted, you're a bust.
But he's still a very good player. What I'm saying is he should have been the number... What?
He
we just had a conversation like 2 months ago about whether the Pelicans should trade him or not.
Yeah, so clearly, and I was saying the fact that he already in trade talks again before his rookie deal up, he about to get traded twice.
He's had a good season. He can play the game. He's just not.
That's what I'm saying. That's not a bust.
That. I mean, but Ricky Rubio can do the shit.
What makes you a bust? That's what I'm saying. You ain't.
Get out of here.
I think you're a bust if you don't live up to your expectations and what they expect you to be.
To me, a bust is like you just don't pan out. You don't. You're not a player. You're not a player in the NBA. Lonzo Ball is a player in the NBA. Now, we could argue, should he have been the number two pick or the 10th pick? Like, yeah,
he got that little Laker feelings for him. He got empathy for this nigga. Nah.
Lonzo Magic coming back.
Johnson sat, Lonzo, Magic Johnson Lonzo. Was like this, Manny. He was like, this nigga right here, he going, hey, his jersey going to be on the Raptor.
He gave him, so you saying he gave him the rock chain?
They gave him the Blake Griffin special.
Hey, with the Rockefeller chain.
But you know what, though?
They shipped about next week.
You know what, though? They probably called Julius Randle a bust for a while, though. So we can't really say he's
nah,
a bust.
Nah, Julius. Nah, I knew. I'll say this as a Laker fan, and I'm not saying it because it's revisionist history. I hated Julius leaving because I knew Julius was capable of this. He just needed consistency and a team to believe in him.
Yeah.
That was the only thing Julius needed.
But up until now, would you not say he underachieved?
Nah, hell nah.
No, he's finally. Julius, like, people are acting like this is the only year Julius has ever done it. This is the only year he's done it consistently for an 82-game clip. But Julius has been a baller for years, bro. He just has never really put it together. Yep. He's like that. Again, I use a baseball reference. He's like that pitcher that'll go out there and strike out 15, and then the next game, he'll get bombed for 5 runs. He's never had that full, consistent year where it's like, all right, Julius is giving me 20 and 10 every night.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So in most cases, that's what makes him an anomaly is the fact that he did recover to become.
And he's gotten better, though. He's gotten progressively better each and every year, barring injury. Last year, I know he had a little bit of a struggle, but I know he was hurt a lot, too, and just didn't. And then, the coaching staff didn't believe in him. Again, a team that believed in him, the opportunities, and him, his own progression in his game. That's all he needed. Julius was going to do this. You talk to real Laker fans, they would tell you this. Julius was legit.
He was legit. I agree that he was legit. I liked him at Kansas, and Kentucky, and on up, I felt like he was going to be a baller. I just felt like he kind of underachieved because I felt like he was going to be this.
And remember, he had a serious injury his rookie year. He only played
I remember that game, too. That was scary.
I remember that shit. I was like, damn, we picked this nigga seventh, and he broke his leg 10 minutes into his first game. Like, shit.
And he was playing pretty good that night, too. Them 10 minutes, he had a good – You had
a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
Had a spark.
And they call him King Julius in New York. That's what you got to refer him as.
Yeah.
All right, man. We're going to get out here for real this time. Nice. Y'all got some extra shit tonight. But FIFO should be back Thursday. Don't hold me to that. But I'm pretty sure Q will be here. And and we'll be back Thursday. So. We'll catch you guys then. We out. Peace.
Peace.